you wouldn't understand.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Late Mac Holmes Mac Talk Radio Show. I'm Sean King of King of Media.
And I'm Adam Clark of Late Night Consulting.
And first off, our apologies for being a half hour late this evening. It was
Adam's fault.
No, no, it wasn't anyone's fault. It was just a server that needed a good slap upside the head. So,
well, actually, there are people to blame it on, but we'll talk about that later.
We'll send Vince Sabio's buddies out after him from Joyzy. Thanks for joining us, folks. We have a jam-packed show, which is one reason why we wanted to get it out as soon as we could. We'll probably end up going a bit longer than usual, and I'm sure none of you will mind that. So we've got all kinds of announcements to make about those of you who've seen our front page about Adam and I going to Macworld Expo.
Yeehaw! Yeah!
Look out, New York. Actually, look out, Adam and Sean. We'll be scared stupid all the entire time there.
You will.
Yeah, I will. Okay. I got to fly
let's
first.
Let's get that straight.
First off, let's go to our news headlines.
Mac faithful like the new Apple iMac.
USB PCI card on the way for current Macintoshes.
S&P has upgraded Apple computer to positive.
Nikito has a good article on how does compression work.
We've got an interesting tidbit from macOS rumors regarding how many lines of code and bugs there are in NT5.
And new from Apple, Real PC is now included with all PowerBooks sold, V3 sold in Asia. Those lucky guys in Asia get to have Real PC right up there with them.
And from Mac Central, a source is saying that Apple miniseries is in the works. We have a follow-up story.
And we'll be back after these messages.
Is your computer beginning to sound as boring as a ghost town?
Listen here, dirtbag.
Initiating audio diagnostic.
Bring your computer back to life with this stereo, the new sound CD-ROM from QuickSound. Rev up the volume with over 300 alert sounds. Yo, the man!
Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
And hundreds more, including startup sound.
Hey, there, Golden.
Shutdown sound.
Game over.
Sound effects. Home greetings.
Well, you lead the message.
New mail sounds.
Stop.
And a whole lot more. Get them all in high fidelity stereo on his stereo. Available at quicksounds.com.
Audio diagnostic complete. System approved.
My real job is as a visual effects artist. I've been at ILM for 11 years now. I've been kind of pushing the use of Macintoshes more for feature film effects work. Those of you who've seen the Star Wars Special Edition that came out in January, kind of as a technology experiment and exploration of how far could I push this. This is all done with modeling in FormZ, texture maps in Photoshop, animation and lighting and rendering an electric image completely at home on one, it was a PowerMac 8180.
I'm really sorry, folks. The presentation should be running. I
just installed my new operating system, Windows 95.
Write typing sysedit.exe.
Thank you.
Check your autoexec.sys.
No, looking for config.sys.
Thank you.
If you're looking for a computer that's easy to use, there's still only one way to go.
Get a Macintosh.
Well, boys, the break's over.
Welcome back to Mac Holmes Mac Talk Radio Show. Again, I'm Sean King of King Infomedia.
And I'm Adam Clark of Late Night Consulting.
Hello there, children.
That's Chef. That was Chef.
Thank you, Hopefully, Chef.
Thank you, Chef. Thank you very much, Chef. Busy day for you, for us today, not only just in our real lives, but also in our internet lives. We had a bit of a bear getting the show out on time on the air, as you obviously can tell. And again, for that, we apologize. Hopefully it won't happen again. But if it does, just hang with us. We'll usually try to get something out.
Sooner or later.
Yeah, exactly. We try our darndest for you folks.
As soon as we get the right heads rolling, then.
First off, Adam, why don't you tell folks how to get a hold of us?
You can drop us an email at mactalk@machome.com. Do join us in our IRC chat channel, which is at irc.dal.net. And we're, of course, in the Mac Talk channel. Give us a call, 1-877-828-TALK. That's 877-828-8255 for the letter impaired. And that is a toll-free number. If you're in the local Vancouver area, that number is 415-6445.
And remember,
parental guidance is suggested
at all times on the show, so always be careful. Have one finger close to your ear to jam it in there. For those of you who have seen it, I believe the July issue of Mac Home Magazine is up and available. It's got the cool picture of the iMac on it, and I think the issue is going to be pretty much devoted to the iMac. So, and for those of you who have seen it, Macworld has got a big iMac fang on it, and it's kind of interesting just to flash that at people. I was with a bunch of friends last night, a couple of techies and a couple of non-techies, and flashing the cover of Macworld at them, I got the reaction I expected. The techies went, "Ew," and the non-techies went, "Cool." That's pretty much what I've seen all over the place. Don't forget about our partners, Insanely Great at insanely-great.com, where we get a lot of our news from, along with Apple Links. The folks at Apple Links are also a good, great, very good news page. And again, congratulations to Insanely Great. They turned 1 year old. They're finally out of, no, they're not out of diapers. They'd still be in diapers, but they're walking now, so that's good. And Michael Flaminio, the guy who runs InsanelyGreat.com, is giving away a copy of MS Office 98. So check on that if you deserve a copy of that.
And speaking of giveaways, we've got some interesting giveaways for later in the show, don't we?
I was going to get to that after I got to this stuff.
Well, hurry it along.
This week's...
Plug the show, damn it.
This week, Apple Links Farset. If you've been following John Farr's travails with his aunt, it's getting more and more interesting as John realizes that he's not really much of a teacher. Or at least he's not the teacher he thought he was. So check out John's article. It's actually very amusing. And as usual, our cool sounds are courtesy of the folks at Click Sound. They've got, for those of you who use a set of chimes or sounds to chime your hours and half hours and quarter hours, Click Sound has got the new Westminster Chimes. And as Adam is rushing to tell you, first of all, well, the big news, first of all, is we're going to Macworld.
We're going to New York.
And we just couldn't be happier.
I feel good.
Look out, New York. It's not going to be pretty. Remember, these are Canadians drinking American beer. It's just going to be ugly. It's just
cheap American beer.
You can just see Alan Stafford going, "Oh, man." No. But it's true. Macworld will be Tuesday, July 7th to Friday, July 10th. We will be there, and the great thing is we are going to be doing not just our Wednesday night show. We are going to be doing 2 hours.
In fact, we're not going to do a Wednesday night show that week.
Good point, yeah. We're going to be doing 2 shows a day for 2 hours a day. The show will be on from 11 to 1 and then again from 3 to 5. So you'll get 4 hours of us, which could be really terrifying for some people. And other people are going to really enjoy it. But, yeah, we are going to be doing 4 hours a day on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're going to do that for 4 days? Pay attention.
Hi.
Jeez, strange women walk into the studio and he starts fondling them.
I'm here, really.
that's 4 hours a day for 4 days, and tune in especially on Thursday and Friday, because we're going to be so dopey by then, we're just going to be exhausted.
Well, what are we going to talk about next, Sean? As you already know, we're at Macworld.
In case you didn't notice.
Yeah. Just thought I'd fill up some airtime with that.
So don't look for archives that week. I don't very much will have the time, the energy, or even the resources to be able to put up too many archives. So you'll have to listen to us live. We're going to have tons of guests. We're going to have tons of stuff to give away.
Well, I hope to get the archives up, but...
Yeah, but I'm not going to guarantee it.
That's a bit of work, yeah.
That's right. That's iffy at best. So, yeah, we'll definitely be there. For those of you who are going, if you haven't bought your exhibitor tickets yet, definitely listen to the show for the next 3 or 4 weeks, because the kind folks at IDG Expo, the people who put on Macworld Expo, have given us 20 tickets to the Macworld. So what we're going to do is we're going to give them away in twos. So instead of giving you just one ticket, which means that you're a geek, we'll give you two tickets so you can... basically find another geek to go with, or take the wife or significant other, wife, husband, girlfriend, both, whichever one you may or may not happen. So we haven't yet figured out how we're going to give those away yet. So call us, email us. Remember, you can call us at 1-877-828-8255. We might just give you a set of tickets just randomly, just for the fun of it.
Yep.
We also have our usual contest of the 1-year subscription to Macworld. For those of you who nail our random question right on the button, and don't just, not random question, sorry, random number. And don't just send us random numbers. That doesn't count.
That's cheating.
I ignore those.
Send.
Yeah.
Two.
Send. I pretty much ignore those. If it's just an email or an IRC chat with just a number, go away. Those get deleted instantly, so don't bother. But if you have a question, if you got a statement, if you want to tell us about something that you did this week, any along those lines, please email us or call us, and we'll get you on the air, or get your email on the air, and we'll let you play our little game. We also have a giveaway, and we have one more copy of that game, Agora. If you haven't had a chance to check out netwarrior.com, they've got even more screenshots up. And I found out today, and this is my apologies for not checking, the game doesn't ship till July. So for you folks who have won, the two folks, Andreas in Germany and Derek, and my apologies, Derek, I've forgotten where you live, your names have gone into the folks at NetWarrior, but the game won't be out to you until sometime in July. And I should have asked about that beforehand. Do you actually have copies of it? Let's see, what else? What else do we have to give away? I can't think of anything else. That was it. Three things. Agora.
Tickets,
and the subscription. And along with the subscription, for those of you who get within our little range, are our T-shirts, too. So we're going to have lots of fun with this, and we might even let you choose what prize you want to go to, because not everybody is going to want tickets to Macworld, because they're not going to be, you know, the guys in Podunk may not be driving to Macworld.
Exactly.
We're also looking forward to, and I know this is pretty far in advance, but we're looking forward to doing even more stuff with the folks at Macworld for the San Francisco show, so don't think that you folks on the West Coast are being ignored or left out. I just flashed on something. Our guest next week. For those of you who are listening and expecting a guest, sorry, they bailed on me. I had some people lined up for tonight, and luckily, as it turns out, they couldn't do it. But next week we're going to have Adam Engst on. For those of you who know Adam's mailing list called Tidbits, or have read his books, The Internet Starter Kit for Macintosh, or Eudora for Macintosh, you definitely want to tune into that to ask Adam questions about Eudora, the Internet, his books, writing, Tidbits, the web, anything you'd like. Adam's a good friend of the folks here at MacTalk.
Well, and anybody by the name of Adam is a good guest to have on the show. It's a good name of people to have on the show. You're looking for something.
You moron.
I just can't get to these fast enough. I need a bigger damn monitor. It's just I can't get to them fast enough. And then the following week, we hope to have on Don Crabb, the Crabster, the guys with the claws. He is going to be our guest in 2 weeks, in 2 Wednesdays from now. So definitely we're looking forward to both those interviews. Next week, Adam Engst, and the following week, Don Crabb. I would basically want to ask Crabb, how the hell do you write so much so often? It just always amazes me.
He's just a living, breathing word processor. He sits there.
Sweet mother of all that is good and pure.
I have to. I, for those of you who know, I
warn
bang
me next time. Okay?
I bang out a comment when you see me click on this.
Yeah, that doesn't usually mean much. You're over there clicking away. Going,
where's the sound? I know I put out a, for those of you who know, put out a column for the Arizona Republic once a week, and that's hard enough. I can't imagine how Don does 5 or 6 or 12 of them, however number he puts out every week for every publication known to mankind. So let's get to the news. We're going to spend a little bit of time doing the news, then we'll get to more stuff. And by the way, remember, we're going for a little bit extra time tonight, probably an extra, 45 minutes, an hour, a couple of days. What do you think?
We're going to about 8:30 or so, aren't we?
8:30 or so, yeah. We'll see how we feel.
Did you have my news back to me?
You have your news in your hand. I didn't take your news from you.
We had three of them.
Now I got. Oh, you want to read these?
Well, don't I usually?
Okay, fine.
So what are we starting off with?
This 6:30 start is just ruining the flow. It's just completely shot us.
Destroyed it.
Just kind of shot us all to hell. Let's start off with. Let's see. I have a link for.
Pick one, I'll find it.
Not all of them, though. You start. We're so screwed up, folks. Sorry. Go ahead, you start.
Go, stop clicking.
It's my screen. I can click all I want.
Okay, we're going to start with link number one here.
All right. Well, that's a good one. After all that.
No idea what link number one is, but here we go. Mac faithful, like the new Apple iMac. It's just right. Macworld survey finds 9 out of 10 would recommend it to first-time buyers. This comes from the Business Wire. Mac buyers like the iMac, and nearly two-thirds of respondents to a Macworld magazine online poll say they would purchase it for themselves or their families. When it comes to recommending it to others, they are even more likely to endorse the iMac. 89% say they would recommend it to first-time computer buyers, and 84% say they would recommend it to a friend or colleague. The addition of a universal serial bus was seen as a concern by 77% because of its incompatibility with current peripherals, with 64% reporting that the lack of a floppy drive would be an important consideration if they were purchasing an iMac.
It's an interesting story in that I think most Mac users anyway would recommend a Mac, even if there wasn't an iMac around. I think the gist of the story is that Mac users are going to be more proactive about recommending the iMac. I know I certainly have been telling more people about it, even people who don't own a computer now or people who aren't interested in buying a computer. I literally am carrying around copies of pictures of the iMac, like I said, in Macworld, and I'll do it when the Mac Home issue comes out, and just flashing them at people. Just so, hey, lady, look at this. No, I'm not doing that. it would be kind of funny, though. Open up your trench coat. There's a picture of the iMac. Could they arrest you for that? It's not obscene.
Depends on where the picture is and
well,
what you're not wearing.
It would be obvious where the picture would be. You'd be butt naked except for the picture. Could they arrest you for that? You're covered. Anyway.
If you're covered, they can't, no.
With my body, they'd arrest me. Yeah, good
I
point.
Would.
Yeah. Yeah. Just on general principles. that's what I think that's what the poll is mostly about. I think most of us already, when people ask us, we obviously recommend Macs, but we're going to be a little more proactive with the iMac. It's going to be a whole lot more interesting. I was in several computer stores over the weekend, and for those of you who listened to Tech Talk yesterday, you heard my little commentary on that. And it's really interesting to see how salesmen in computer superstores are reacting to both the G3s that they have in store and the iMac. They've got customers already coming in asking about buying an iMac. They've got customers coming in to just ask about and look at the G3s. They've got people, a couple of the sales guys I was talking to are really impressed with the speed of the G3, with how fast things open up, with how powerful it is. One guy very happily showed me this 50 megabyte Photoshop file that he pushed around and rotated and added effects to and graphics to. And this guy's a graphics guy with his own Pentium 2 system, and he was amazed at how he could do things on the G3, the 250 G3, that I think, no, 266 G3 that they had there, that would take him 5 minutes on his souped-up Pentium. I think he said he's got a Pentium 300 or 266 with, like, buckets of RAM and that kind of stuff, and how it was happening within, like, 10, 15, 30 seconds on the G3 that they had in store. So if computer sales guys are getting jazzed about these things, that's got to be a good sign for Apple. That's really good for Apple to have those people, the guys on the front line of the computer sales wars, saying that, yeah, we're starting to recommend Apple to customers, or at least not turning them away. You know, they're no longer saying, okay, Apple is dying, Apple is dead, why don't you buy this cute little Pentium over here? They're saying if the customer wants to buy a Mac, they can now feel much better about saying, yeah, that's a great machine, it's got some great features kind of thing. So I think that's real important for Apple.
Now Apple just has to start sending these guys spiffs for selling the Apple.
Yeah, no kidding. And actually, speaking of spiffs, let's see if I can find this real quick. Of course, as Sean says, find it real quick. You know we won't be able to. Sean's never been able to find anything real quick on this. Oh, here we go. Spiff from Ellen Gray. Sean, you were wrong again. Well, thanks, Ellen. Apple does give spiffs. They are currently giving spiffs for Apple 17 and 20-inch monitors. $20 for the 17-inch and $50 for the 20-inch. Now, I did not know this.
This 20-inch is the most beautiful monitor I have ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll be completely honest with you. I still don't like the idea of spiffs because you're not getting honesty from the sales guys, but if one side is doing them, Apple's got to do it. There's just no way around it. These guys are, for the most part, commissioned sales guys who have to put bread on the table. And as much as I dislike spiffs, if HP and NEC and those guys and Daystar and those folks are giving up these things, then Apple's got to follow suit. Yeah. And $20 may not be a lot. $50 may not be a lot, but it encourages the sales guy. Again, unfortunately, encourages the sales guy to steer you towards these machines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if everybody had the same spiff, that might be different. If they were all $50, that might be different. But obviously, not everyone gives the same spiff. So it's an interesting problem for Apple and for sales guys. And just quickly, by the way, Chris Angelotti says, speaking of Jerry Springer, we were last week. He says, my uncle is good friends with Jerry, and I've been in Jerry's house. He has a Performa 6400 200 video editing edition and uses a PowerBook 3400 200 on the road. Chris, give me his email address. We'd love to have Jerry Springer on the show.
No,
see if we can get a slap fight going.
Exactly. Verbal, over the pole.
Yeah.
Where's the big slap sound? Never mind.
Oh, cool. Look, we've already got folks whining. Ken Townsend. Can I have a couple of tickets? I've never been and I can't afford it. Pretty please. You're my bestest pals. Nice job of sucking up, Ken.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not a bad job. Hey, you're in the running, buddy, because we like people sucking up. I'm not ashamed of it at all. Go ahead. Suck up all you like. I like it. Works for me, kids. And by the way, Dan Brenner's been asking you this for a while in the chat room. Is there any way to ident on a Mac? I don't even know what that means. Are there any ident servers or any way to get Urkel to ident with the server? I know some people using Macs are identified properly, but I don't know how. Thanks in advance, Dan, PS42. I think you know what that's for. Yeah, that's the meaning of life, Dan. According to Douglas Adams, that's the meaning of life, the universe, and everything.
Roll the numbers.
Oh, all right. But it's Dan. Everybody knows I don't like Dan.
Okay, we'll just pretend we're rolling the numbers. Okay. Oh, sorry, it was 78. Oh.
That's such a shame, Dan. Actually, I've forgotten Randy. By the way, folks, Paul Mix created this. This is very cool. Paul Mix, one of our listeners, actually created this rolling software for me. I actually love it. It's very cool. What's the range going to be? He's going
to
be from
1 to a million.
Because it's Dan. Everyone else is 1 to 10. Dan is 1 to a million. We'll do 1 to 100. We'll do 1 to 10, and he has to be within 7. Okay?
Okay.
Now we'll do 1 to 100. Dan picked 42. 17. Sorry, Dan. But keep trying, folks. This is actually a lot of fun. I like doing this. Let's see if we can drag it out even more. So those are a couple of quick emails. And again, you can email us at MacTalk@MacHome.com. We're always happy to get your emails.
We never answered this question, but...
Well, yeah. Do you know about ident?
I haven't a clue.
Neither do I. I don't even know what ident is. What is ident? Ident, do you know?
Well, it's some sort of identification stuff for IRC, but aside from that, I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, no, neither do I. Sorry, Dan. Our apologies for not being more assistance.
If I find out about it in the next week or so, I'll bring it up next show.
Perfect.
But don't count on it.
Yeah. No.
Moving on to the next news item or what?
Sure. What's the next one?
It is S&P upgrading Apple computer to positive.
Number two.
On Tuesday, Standards & Poor's revised its outlook on Apple. Apple has been upgraded to a positive outlook and is seen to have improved profitability and financial flexibility. Shares of Apple Computer rose Tuesday on the vote of confidence from Standard & Poor's, which revised its outlook on the beleaguered PC company to positive from negative. S&P said the outlook revision reflects Apple's improved profitability and financial flexibility. How many times in this piece of news can we say profitability and financial flexibility?
As usual, that's good news for Apple.
Excellent!
Definitely.
And Moody's on Monday also upgraded their debt rating of Apple. And I have no idea what that means because my debt rating is in triple double Z. So, but I'm sure it's a good thing. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, yeah, on Tuesday, Apple's share was up a buck. It was down today on heavy trading. All around the market, though, the entire market was down. But Apple is staying fairly consistently above 25, and you can bet that it will continue to rise as we get closer to macro. It always seems to go up when these sort of events show up at Apple as the hype starts to build. Don't look for, by the way, for macro, don't look for any big announcements. There are going to be some big announcements with games, surprisingly enough. A lot of game developers, I've heard this through the grapevine, are planning on using Macworld to really announce a bunch of new games for the Mac. Apple may have a list of games ready to be sent out on the iMac, too. I know Apple's been working really hard on getting game developers involved with the iMac development and with bundling those kind of things with the iMac. And also, Macworld itself is getting involved in games. As you can check, our link number 6, the Macworld Expo National Macintosh Gaming Championships. Cool! Face off against stiff competitions, the games such as Quake, Diablo, StarCraft, Warcraft 2, Duke Nukem 3D, Myth, Dark Colony, Command & Conquer. All tournaments will be played in the latest state-of-the-art Macintosh station. So if you...
Well, I hope you know how to do the show on your own, because I'll be elsewhere.
You'll be out playing Quake.
You betcha.
Well, I'll be out playing Diablo, so I have no idea who's into the show. Anyone who wants to volunteer for the show, if you get the number right, you're the guest host.
We're sending you to Macworld.
Oh, man, yeah, because, I mean, and we're getting off the track here, but I've been playing I bought Diablo on Sunday night, and I've played it pretty much constantly since. I played it a Monday from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till at least 2 o'clock in the morning. On Tuesday, instead of doing show stuff, I was playing Diablo and drinking beer with friends. When I came home, I played more Diablo.
We started at 6:30 tonight.
Oh, man, it's a good game. And I've forgotten the name because I'm really lousy with names, and my apologies. But remember the listener who said he bought Diablo on my recommendation?
Yes.
And that he hoped it was going to be as good as I said it was. Well, thank God I was right. I'd have been so upset if I wasn't. Graphics are really good. It's a cool-looking game. So anyone looking for an interesting hack-and-slash game, and remember, this is not Riven. This is, if it moves, take a swing at it. just kill it, because there are no good things in the game. You kill everything. If you like D&D, you'll definitely like Diablo. It's mucho mucho fun.
Cool.
So yeah, they have the Macworld Gaming Championship. We're definitely going to see if we can talk to some folks there. Maybe we can get the champion on and stuff like that for various games. And I wonder if it's going to be individual games or whether they would do. I think it would be more interesting to have the overall game guy, not one sad lonely geek who plays nothing but Quake. You know, but have the overall gamer, like the gamer of the world kind of thing. The guy who's good at
it. Smoke your butt in any game.
Exactly. That would be kind of cool to have the championships of all of it. And you'd play like...
Yeah, but who spends that much time on like 10 games?
Are you kidding me? There's all kinds of people out there, sad, lonely, pitiful. Write us an email.
We're going to meet him at Macworld.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. No, actually, there's not that many guys who, or guys or girls, I'm using guys in the generic term, trying to be PC here. There's not that many people that are to be really good at all 10, but it would show you your overall game ability. You know, because a lot of these games have a lot of things in common. Quake and Duke Nukem are obviously very, very similar. Warcraft is very, very different. Diablo is different. So I think it'd be kind of neat to have the overall champion too, as opposed to just the one super geek in Duke Nukem.
Well, you know that would be some 12-year-old from
Yeah, we'd pretty much have to beat stupid just because. Yeah. You want to get this call? Oh, what the heck. Welcome to Mac Talk. This is Sean. Who's this?
Trevor.
Hi, Trevor. Where are you calling from?
New West, right by Smelly Labatt's.
Oh, Trevor, folks, Trevor's calling from right here, actually very near Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. What can we do for you, Trevor?
I just wanted to tell us some news about my new G3 I got.
Oh, I hate you. What'd you get?
Oh, hey, I got it for free.
Oh, I'm hanging up on you now, man.
No, I sold my...
No, wait a sec. He's in New West. Where'd you get the free G3, Trevor?
Yeah, really.
I sold my power base and got the money from another place, and this thing is fast. Especially since I'm hooked up to the fastest consumer internet connection.
Do you have ADSL?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was downloading Shockwave.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a 1 meg installer, including decompressing it. It took less than 10 seconds.
Oh man.
What? It was 230k a second.
Jeez, that's just screamy.
Compared to 130k max on 603.
How much RAM did you get in the G3?
I put in an extra 120, so I have 160.
Yeah, a good idea. What are you doing with that thing? Are you a graphics guy or?
I'm starting my own business with web hosting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
It's not been as good as you think. Cause
no, yeah.
What happened is I had the power base, and I was uploading to my web hosting server, and it was crashing every time I uploaded a graphic.
Yeah.
Except for Netscape. But this machine solved the problems.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and that's also caused problems too with the new server.
Mm-hmm.
Because the domain is, that people think is a sex site.
Oh, what's the domain?
www.entertainmentnet.net.
Yeah.
Maybe so I got this email saying, hey, you're the banners for your sex site. And I'm trying not to be that.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Although that will drive lots of traffic to your site. That's for sure.
I don't want that to be. I'm kind of family oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this G3 is the 266 with video in and out.
Cool. What are you doing the video in and out for? Anything in particular?
Well, I did finish a course at Vancouver Training Institute, their multimedia development, back in November, so I want to be able to do CD-ROM development and web page, so I need the video.
Trevor, do you have a CDR burner?
No, that's on my list of things.
That's your next
printer.
One? Which burner would you be looking at?
Not quite sure, actually.
Yeah. I know I've heard some good stuff about the Yamaha one. Folks, if anyone out there does have a CROM burner, please give us a call. Let us know, because I'd be curious to know what you guys consider a good burner is. I haven't ever used one, although I did have my hands on one for a while, but I've never actually sat down and played around with one. So I'd be curious to know which one people are using and which one people like and think are the best ones. Well, Trevor, thanks for calling. And like I said, we absolutely hate you because we're just jealous.
I guess you don't want to know about the cable setup I have in my room.
No, I don't. You have ADSL in your room?
It's low income housing.
Yeah.
I'm with Gateway. It's kind of a society. But one thing is I have it hooked up to a VCR, stereo VCR in and out,
mm-hmm.
TV with video in and audio out, iOS stereo with audio in and out, and a Technics CAN1200 keyboard with audio out. And I have to figure out how to merge them all together.
Oh, yeah, good luck.
Yeah, it's about $300 in cables by itself.
Yes, in those solid gold-plated cables, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, it's done in Future Shop. The guy says, oh, yeah, here's 12-foot for six-foot for $16. Oh, here's for $69 some gold-plated cable.
Well, the gold-plated ones, if you can afford it, will definitely give you better connectivity, but they are bloody expensive.
Yeah, and the other thing about this computer is I have it hooked up to a 4.3-gig SCSI external. And it's only 17-inch because I'm visually impaired. So it's like I'm working on a 14-inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but I love your show, and I started listening to it about 2 weeks ago.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Kim. Trevor.
Yeah, I'm
good luck with all those toys, man. We do hate you. Just make that official.
And you're listening to the show.
Great.
Thanks.
Thanks. Talk
Bye-bye.
To you soon.
Bye.
Cool. Guys with G3s calling us up and bragging. I hate that. Make them stop, Adam. sounds like he's got just a screamingly hot setup, too. Man.
Yeah, no kidding.
His apartment must be like the inside of a furnace with all that equipment. we have to go to our first commercial break of this half hour, so please stay with us. You're listening to Mac Holmes' Mac Talk Radio Show.
Thank you.
I'd bleed rainbow. The bottom line is that you know, I've been working with Macintoshes also since, you know, right before they were officially announced, and I had one of the early ones. I push this stuff. I'm never satisfied. I always want it faster. I always want the interface to reflect the latest in design technology. I want it more portable. I want it lighter. And I don't care what it costs.
To witness a revolution in high-performance technology. It's handling your sunroof. This power will take your breath away. But what makes this technology so revolutionary is what it runs on. Your imagination.
I got my first Mac at Macy's in, I think, 85. And from that moment, I was completely hooked. Scribbling with Zip-A-Tone on a mouse. It was a great concept. So I got one as a toy. And just started playing with it. And I realized really quickly that all of those rather idealistic, cliché-sounding concepts like personal freedom, liberation, all the things that were in that 1984 commercial were completely true.
Welcome back to Mac Homes, Mac Talk Radio Show. I'm Sean King.
And I'm Adam Clark.
And as usual, we have too much fun during our breaks. This is more fun than we actually do deserve. More about the E3 event a couple weeks ago on our link number 7. It's kind of interesting to see G3s do E3. This is one from one of our other favorite writers, Randy Whitted from TechWeb and his Mac Tales. So definitely check that one out. And Adam has more news for us.
Well, yes, you caught me off guard again. As we were mentioning earlier with the poll and people not liking the idea of USB becoming the new standard, well, for those of you who don't have a machine that supports USB, there is now a USB PCI card. MacWeek published an article about Keyspan's new USB PCI card. The card is due this summer for under $100. By using this card, current Mac systems can utilize new universal serial bus devices. Combined with Win98 and the new iMac, developers are now flocking to USB. Yeah, I want my scanner to crash on Win98 too. The upgrade will work with a PCI-based macOS system with macOS 7.6 or higher. The card will feature two USB ports to support up to 127 devices. And God, I would hate to see a machine that had that many USB devices daisy-chained.
Trevor will have it.
And we have a link for that as well.
No, we don't.
Well, we did.
Okay. But I was checking out, as you were talking about that, our link number 9, unfortunately, USB users may face bandwidth problems. IT managers hoping to offer desktop users the freedom of plugging in their own peripherals, like a Mac, thanks to the easy configuration capability of Universal Serial Bus, may end up with additional technical support headaches instead. And you can read that article about some of the problems you may have with USB devices and bandwidth.
Can I ask where that article goes? Like what sort of what avenues they take with that? I mean, you're going to have bandwidth problems if you hook up SCSI devices.
What a lot of people don't realize, is that USB has to have powered hubs, and if you plug a USB device into an unpowered hub, nothing will happen. And so if you daisy chain a bunch of them to an unpowered hub, nothing happens.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Not a problem. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Mac Holmes Mac Talk. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Please don't listen to your computer while you're on the air.
Goodbye.
Care. Bye-bye.
It just throws us right off. It just ruins the whole flow. Don't do that. Stop that. Just. That's for whoever just called. So, yeah, that's part of the problem with, and on the iMac, I believe one of the hubs or one of the connections is a powered connection, and therefore, if you plug everything in, say, for example, to the right side of the iMac or into the powered one, you won't have any problem. But if you plug a bunch of unpowered USB devices that don't have any kind of hub, very much like a network hub, nothing's going to happen. And the problem is, you're not going to know that because most users...
But I thought they were talking about bandwidth problems. At least according to the title of the article.
Okay, I'm trying to remember the article now. Fine, I'll go back and look at it again. Jeez. Power requirements. They're talking about, say the power requirement is beyond the capacity of the port. Nothing will happen, said Rode Williams, product line director of the Interconnect Software Group at Phoenix Technologies. The concept of a universal plug-and-play port for adding peripherals was meant to eliminate the need for IT support. Anyone who plugs boards into a machine is technologically savvy enough to know what they're doing, said Nathan Brookwood, principal analyst at DataQuest. But with USB, they're saying just plug it in. You don't have to be smart. You just have enough money to buy the peripheral. Like a Mac. Yeah, they don't say... here it is. Part of the problem is the need for USB hubs to power multiple peripherals. Passive hubs use the 500 milliamp maximum USB spec and allocate about 100 milliamps to each connected device. A powered hub offers the full 500 milliamps to each device. Okay. All right. So what they're saying is that if this is the same guy on the phone, I'll come down wherever you live and slap you. So if you've got an unpowered hub and you plug in six things, nothing's going to happen because they're each given 100. Okay. Let's try this again. Mac Holmes, Mac Talk. Who's this?
Hey, this is Vince. Who's this?
Hey, Vince, this is Sean.
Sean, baby, what's happening?
Vince, where are you calling from?
Calling from home, Washington, D.C.
Oh, it's that Vince. So that explains it.
It's that Vince. And I got to tell you, anyone who is willing to put in print that any person who is plugging boards into his computer is technologically savvy does not deserve to have a typewriter in front of him.
There's Vince once again beating around the bush.
Yeah.
Say what you mean, man. Come on.
I know.
For
I
those
can't
you...
help it. I just I have trouble getting to the point.
For those of you out there, Vince, why don't you tell some folks about the many and varied mailing lists you manage and control and rule over as master of your domain.
Oh, this is Vince S.
This is Vince Sabio.
All right.
Oh, yeah, it's that guy. Well, I guess the two of greatest interest to the listening audience... How big is your listening audience, Sean?
Thousands.
About 8,000.
It's somewhere between 8 and 8,000.
Per hour.
Just answer the damn question, Sabio.
Probably the two of most interest to the listening audience are MacL, which is the Macintosh News and Information List, which is really just about anything related to Apple, Macintosh, you name it. And then there's another list called Rhapsody, which is pretty self-explanatory. It's a little bit more focused, specifically the Rhapsody and now Mac OS, and I prefer to say X, but
yes,
Mac OS 10 operating system. Apple really missed a boat on that.
Yeah, one. I agree.
Another topic that I have trouble getting to the point on, and it's certainly of a lot less interest to anyone with any respect for his modem, is Mac Chat. I wouldn't even go into detail on that one. If you want to mention something on that, be my guest.
Let's just say it's extremely high bandwidth and very low noise-to-signal ratio.
It's extremely low signal-to-noise ratio.
Sorry, signal-to-noise. My apologies.
I'm sure that the signal-to-noise ratio is virtually non-existent.
That's right. Actually, it's not allowed to be, is it? Mac Chat's not. You're not allowed to have useful information on Mac Chat.
That's actually right in the welcome message. It's
exactly.
Part of the list charter.
Yep.
If anyone who posts useful information is berated immediately.
By hundreds of people, too. It's a pretty amazing sight to see.
Yeah, but worst of all, by Vince.
And then, I guess, thrown into the mix just for fun are other lists like the Darwin list, which is a whole lot of people who enjoy chronicling spectacular...
Stupidity.
In ways that idiots cleanse themselves out of the gene pool.
And hopefully before reproducing.
Yeah. Let's see, there's HumorNet, that's not even worth going into. I only posted that once a year now.
Yeah, no kidding.
And, yeah, tell me about it. And there's Merced, mm-hmm. the microprocessor discussion list.
What where can folks find out about Macintosh News and Information List?
Probably the best place to go is to point your web browser at lists, L-I-S-T-S, dot Lyris, L-Y-R-I-S, dot net,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have just a myriad of mailing lists to choose from.
All the
Mac
L
will be listed there, Mac Chat will be there, I think even Darwin's there.
And you're, there. And you're a big fan of that software, too, that Lyris software, aren't you?
The I love
server.
It. Absolutely love it. And the thing that really pisses me off is it makes SmartBounce obsolete. But Lyris is awesome.
Now,
you should know, Sean. Come on. You helped me run MacL back when we were on listserv, and you couldn't figure out how to issue a single command. Now that we're on Lyris, never mind.
Now I don't have to figure it out.
Yeah, I know. That's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it. Yeah, for anyone who's running mailing lists, you should definitely check out any info you can on Lyris. It's a very clean and interesting system, and Vince being the alpha geek that he is, really, really likes it. And I'm surprised that the other alpha geek, Chuck Van Rosspack, hasn't jumped all over Lyris itself.
Chuck is interested primarily. Right now he's interested primarily in low cost solutions.
Yeah.
And compared to something like Listserv, Lyris is about an order of magnitude cheaper, but it's still not free to be running the kind of list. There are free versions, but mm-hmm. Not for the kind of list that Chuck's running.
Yeah. And Chuck, for those of you who don't know, is the list master at Apple, and he runs literally probably thousands of lists. Would it be safe to say?
Oh, I don't know.
Various lists, both inside and outside of Apple.
A staggeringly large number of lists.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that if you ever have a question about list software, a guy to ask very, very nicely to help you out.
Chuck
does not suffer fools gladly, that's for sure.
Oh, Chuck's okay. I mean,
yeah.
He has this reputation for having a bite, but Chuck's a great guy. He really is.
He is, yeah. And the other big news in Vince's life is you just bought a Land Rover Discovery.
Oh, we're not even going to talk about
you
that.
You bought a land yacht?
Yacht.
Land yacht. Yeah, land sorry, yacht. You're from New Jersey. Land yacht.
You paid big time money for an SUV?
I did that. And you know what's interesting is once you buy one of these things, you realize that you don't really need to eat.
That's right. And you can live in it, too. It's big enough you and Kim can actually move in.
Yes, you can live in it. I've got a shower in the back. And my neighbor doesn't mind if I just, you know, run over, knock on the door if I have to use the facilities.
Next problem is getting that ISDN connection up there.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on my mobile IP for that thing. Actually, what I'm going to do, I'm going to drive over to Trevor's house.
Okay, yeah, exactly. He's got to have the bandwidth.
Yeah, I know. He wouldn't even notice.
That's right.
No kidding.
He knows you start sucking juice off of him.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Vince, you going to Macworld?
You know, I might. I'm looking at that. I might be in Toronto around that time, but if I'm not,
oh man, if you've got a choice,
that you guys are actually going to be in Macworld,
yeah.
At Macworld, whatever the hell it is, and I might hike up there.
If you got a choice between New York and Toronto, you've got to pick New York, man.
Oh.
Why would you go to Toronto? Nobody wants to go to Toronto.
Oh, I go to New York all the time. I'm going to New York this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so, this is the guy, folks, by the way, who, instead of watching the Super Bowl last year, went to go see, what was it, Vince, Grease? Instead of the
me?
Super Bowl, you.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch sports on TV. Why should I watch other people having fun?
He's got a man's voice, but he's actually a girl, guys.
I do not understand this. Why would I sit on a couch, get fat, and watch other people have fun? I'd rather go to Grease, get fat, and watch other people have fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, I'm going to run along here.
All right.
Let you guys get back to your radio show.
Thanks for calling, Vince.
Yeah,
are you doing a radio show?
And harass you.
Hopefully we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That, folks, is my very first electronic friend, Vince Sabio. We met...
Geek Buddy.
We met about 4 or 5 years ago on the Internet, and I've only ever met in person once. Vince lives near Washington, D.C., and we've yet to figure out... what to call people that you've made friends with over the internet. Are they e-friends? Are they virtual friends? Are they electronic pals? You know, my own personal Tamagotchi? No, that's not it. I'm not pushing his buttons. No way. Yeah. I'm not going there. Thanks for calling, Vince. Appreciate that. Remember, you guys can always get a hold of us at MacTalk@MacHome.com. You can call us like Vince and Trevor did at 1-877. And that is, in fact, a toll-free number, 1-877-828-8255. You can also get us on our chat room at, where is it, Adam? I've forgotten.
It is at irc.dal.net. We are in the Mac Talk channel.
Yeah, I almost hung myself on my headphones. What was it we were
talking about? Be the first time.
Yeah, no kidding. What was I talking about before Vince called? What were we talking about? Is there a web? Oh, the USB devices. That's right. So I think we answered that question.
Yep.
Didn't we? Yeah, we
I
did.
Think so.
Next item.
Real PCs going to be included with PowerBooks in the Asia Pacific. God, what a horrible title. This comes from the Insanely Great news list.
Oh, good. Yeah, just slammed Michael. Nice job.
No. Was that his title?
That was his title.
Sorry, Mike. Wednesday, Apple and Insignia Solutions announced an agreement to include Real PC with Apple PowerBook G3 computers sold in Asia Pacific. Gene Lim, Apple Asia Pacific's business manager of mobile and consumer products, said, "Solutions like Real PC enable macOS customers to have access not only to the great software products available for the Mac, but also to software on the DOS and Windows platform." Like this is a benefit or something. No word on when or if Apple plans to include any PC compatibility software on Mac sold elsewhere.
That's interesting. I wonder if that's just a test program from Apple to see how this would be received.
Does Real PC run as well as Virtual PC?
In certain instances, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're both fighting for various optimization. Real PC seems to be targeting more of the games market, whereas Kinectics Virtual PC seems to be targeting the overall business application market. So it's interesting to watch them duke it out. And it's interesting that, remember, we spoke about this about 3 or 4 months ago with regards to a rumor that Apple was trying to get Kinectics, get a license to bundle Kinectics's Virtual PC with the new G3s, and it didn't happen for some reason. Someone was asking for too much money or whatever. So it's interesting to see that they've now gone, at least in Asia, to Real PC and bundling those with the new G3s. Was it G3 PowerBooks, by the way, or was it all G3s? Adam quickly
that
digs them thing out of the trash.
Had the PowerBooks.
Just the PowerBooks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder why just the PowerBooks and why not desktop models and that kind of stuff. It'd be interesting to find out from.
Let's just be a sort of a test market.
Yeah. We're headed off to our next commercial break. You're listening to Mac Home's Mac Talk Radio Show.
Microsoft Service, could you hold for an hour?
Herman Atienza of California writes, "The fact is that all the creative people I know use Macs, and the Mac appeals to the artist in me. I see my Mac and I don't think of work. I think of the future and of the beauty of this virtual landscape. And you can bet it wasn't those clone boxes at work that made me aware of this fast computing world. It was my Mac." In business, why not go along with the crowd?
Because you never win a race by following the crowd. People who use both Mac and PC like the Mac better. They're more productive.
Come on, how can that possibly be?
Because Mac users spend less time messing around under the hood. This means less downtime. With the Mac, everything comes more naturally. It does what you want, the way you want.
But what if you're surrounded by PCs? You really don't have a choice.
Even in a PC environment, the Mac always finds a way to fit in. Without doing a thing, you can work with disks and files created on Windows systems. And you can get even cozier by running Windows programs right on the Mac.
I might consider a Mac, but you know, I don't have anybody to help me.
Look, in comparison to everything else, the Mac is easy. Apple's won awards for their technical support.
So bottom line, why is a Mac better for my business?
Because it's the fastest, most productive, easiest to use machine. The Mac has it all. Maybe easier really is better.
In time, God created the heavens, the earth.
Man had woman and rested on the seventh day, only to create the Macintosh.
We are entering a whole new era, the decade of positive change. Around the world, organizations have realized that you cannot intimidate human beings into productivity. The key is to let people do what they do best, whatever way works best for them. At the same time, fundamental principles of mass production give ordinary people access to powerful technology. That which was affordable to the few becomes available to the many. Mass production becomes mass productivity. The Industrial Revolution meets the Age of Enlightenment. The walls have come down. Opportunity has gone up. And your only limits will be the size of your ideas and the degree of your dedication. People, this is an exciting time to be alive.
Welcome back to Mac Homes, Mac Talk Radio Show. And again, thanks very much for calling us, Vince and Trevor. Anyone else can do the exact same thing. Our number is 1-877-828-TALK. 8-TALK-8255. So we still got more links, more web pages, lots of stuff. Remember, we're still giving away those tickets to Macworld. For those folks who are going, you can save yourself $90. We're giving away two tickets to Macworld. We've got 20 tickets in total, so we'll be giving away 10 sets over the next 3 or 4 weeks. So please write us, ask questions, email us, and we'll see if we can get you guys as winners. Link number 5 is very cool. Inside Mac Games meets with Gillian Anderson, and somebody, I don't know who, wrote underneath it, Gillian.
Who would that have been?
I don't know, some sick puppy. But it's kind of an interesting article, and we're actually going to try to get her on the show. She is a Mac user, and I was in contact with her before the show moved down to, contact with her PR people, before the show moved down to back down to L.A. So we're going to try to see if we can get her on the show sometime very soon, hopefully within the next month or two.
Maybe we'll get lucky and she'll be at Macworld.
Maybe we'll just get lucky. Sorry, that wasn't me. That was someone else took over the mic.
Probably the same person who
wrote Jillian. The same pervert who did that, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's in the room with me.
Could be.
Anyhow.
Could be. What do you got next?
We have some information, and we have a link for this as well, from an article from Makito. Many people don't understand compression. How do you make something smaller? Well, in some ways you don't. You just encode the data in a more efficient way. This article will explain a few basic types and concepts about data storage and compression.
Link number 24, how does compression work? It's actually a really interesting article. Most of us know that compression works. We have no idea how it works, why it works, or anything else along those lines. I've got a vague general idea that I could probably lie my way through, but as usual, David's written a very good article on the ins and outs and ups and downs of doing exactly that, of how a text file becomes smaller, how stuff at expander works, drop stuff works, how compression when it comes to JPEGs works, and things like that. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you certainly don't need to know it to use your Mac, but if you're interested in it, check that out. And for those of you with Power Mac G3s and or ATA drives, check link number 25, too, while you're there. Drive setup adds support for Power Mac G3s and prevents the write cache from being disabled following a restart on ATA drives. Apple recommends that all running system 7.6 or later use this particular new drive setup. It'll add some new drivers to your hard drive. And when you get a chance, have you seen our listener of the week, Walter?
No,
Walter
I haven't.
Forlini. Hopefully I'm saying your name right. Ow, I screwed that up real good, didn't I?
That's interesting.
My apologies, folks. I did this in a rush. Walter wrote us telling us about his trip. He took his PowerBook. PowerBook 100 is the only PowerBook available that could function above 10,000 feet, actually rated 15,000 feet. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize machines would stop working over a certain height.
Well, they need to breathe, too.
He says, you can't see the screen very well, but it says, "Hi, Mom." Yeah, I suppose it would have been, "Hi, Adam and Sean. Windows blows. Had you guys been around then?" But it's cool. He's at the top of Pike's Peak at 14,000 feet, Pike Peak National Forest. And because I'm Canadian and usually ignorant about U.S. geography, someone write to me. First person writes to me and tells me where Pike's Peak is, either on the phone or on her email, MacTalk at MacHome.com. Tell me where Pike's Peak is. I honestly don't know. I know it's in the mountains.
It's up there somewhere.
It's up really high. Yeah. It's up in the mountain somewhere. So there's a trivia question for you for someone to send me an email. We'll send off to you two tickets to Macworld Expo, two exhibitor passes. Remember, you have to get there yourself.
We're not sending the airplane too.
We're not picking you up on our way there.
We're not sending the MacTalk corporate jet.
That's right. That's reserved for Adam and I.
Yes, we'll be busy.
Link number 26 is cool too. The a new website, iMac Today at imactoday.com. He's got a whole bunch of pictures taken of the iMac, and he's going to be hoping to be the greatest iMac page on the web. So good luck to whoever that is. and for those of you, let me know about this. Do any of you out there use Kaleidoscope? Here we go. Here's our caller. Welcome to Mac Talks, Mac Home. I screwed that up. Hi, who's this?
This is Derek Schrock.
Hi, Derek. How you doing?
Okay.
Derek was the winner of our Agora trivia a couple weeks ago. What can we do for you, Derek?
Yeah, that means he doesn't qualify for tickets.
Yeah, he does.
No. I was calling to tell you where Pike's Peak is.
Where is it, Derek?
Outside of Colorado Springs.
So it's in Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Canadian question for you, huh? Well, it's like, is Kansas City in Kansas or not? So it's outside of Colorado Springs in Colorado. Now, how far away? The only place I know in Colorado is obviously Denver. Is it near Denver or is it somewhere else? Do you know?
No.
Okay. All right. So, great. Thank you very much. And where do you live, Derek?
Somerset, Pennsylvania.
So cool. Are you going to Macworld?
Yeah.
Cool. You now get yourself two tickets. Send us an email with your mailing address, and we'll get those off to you in the mail. They haven't come to us yet, but as soon as we get them, we're going to fire them off to you down there in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Well, I sent an email, and I don't think you got it yet. But since I'm on the phone right now, what should the people do who are going to Macro that want to listen to MacTalk?
Good question. You can come down and see us. Actually, we'll be at the Mac Home booth. When you register, they'll give you a map and a booth number. As soon as we find out what our booth number is, we'll let you guys know. But you can actually stand right there and glare at us if you'd like. You can probably throw spitballs, but I'm probably bigger than you are, so I wouldn't advise that. But we're gonna have it set up so that people and thanks for the question. It's a good question. We're gonna have people so that they can. I don't know why they'd want to do this. They're going to watch us do the interviews and do the show and that kind of stuff. So you'll actually be able to...
Well, and be able to listen, too.
And listen.
Just have to watch our ugly mugs.
And win prizes and games and all other kind of cool stuff. So that's right. Thanks very much. If you're in Macworld, definitely drop down to the Mac Home booth and pick up your new subscription or sign up for a subscription or just talk to us.
Come by and maybe win one.
Win a subscription or just come by and chat to Adam and I. And by the way, don't be afraid. As we say, we do have good faces for radio, but Adam's going to have some plastic surgery before the actual thing. So, does that answer the question, Derek?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to go see the keynotes, too?
We're going to try. It really depends on when the keynote is. I know it's first thing Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah, 9 a.m. So, it really depends on what we've done the night before and how much preparation we've got to do beforehand. This is both Adam and mine.
Or how much recovery we have to do.
That too, yeah. This is Adam and mine's first time at a Macworld, so we are really babes in the woods when it comes to this kind of stuff. If anyone has been, have you been to a Macworld before?
Yeah, I went to the Boston one.
The Boston ones, yeah. Are you going to be driving there or flying?
Probably going to take a bus from my uncle's house.
How long is that? Would that take?
Probably about. From Pennsylvania to New Jersey, probably about, six, 7 hours.
That's not too bad. Yeah. For some reason, I always think of as everything there really far away, but no, that's not too painful a bus trip at all.
And then just get a ride from New Jersey to New York
to
and
New York,
get a hotel for 4 nights.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, good luck. Hopefully we'll see you there. If you're there, definitely come on by. Again, our shows are going to be from 11 to 1 and 3 to 5. Introduce yourself, and we may just throw a T-shirt in your face.
Okay.
All right.
Take care, Derek.
Thanks, Derek.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a good question because people are going to be wondering if they're there, how they can listen to us. I hopefully we'll have chairs that people can listen to us for 2 hours. I don't know why you'd want to, but I don't know why we do, for that matter. And unfortunately, Walter Forlini has written, Walter, you can't win, man. it's in Colorado, but I'll disqualify myself from the running. Well, good. If you didn't do it, I was gonna, man. But thanks. Yeah, I didn't realize for some reason I thought it was Arizona, and I have no idea why I think that, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. So Derek, don't forget, send us an email with your mailing address, and we will fire those tickets off to you as soon as we can. What else do I got here? I've got just buckets of stuff. You just got just too much stuff as usual. We're gonna have to go to like a 7-hour show, man.
Another email. Oh my gosh, I'm so popular.
This one's from Mike Sotelo. And actually, by the way, Walter Forlini told me I got his name right. So let's work on Mark Sotelo. Hopefully I got that one right too. Hi guys, really enjoyed last week's show about games. It's very much in Apple's best interest to have several of the hottest games out for the Mac. I work with kids, and their allegiance to IBM clones is 90% because their favorite games and software is available there. I agree 100%. Today's gamer is tomorrow's MS Office user. Good point. That's a really good point.
True. Yeah.
As for myself, I must admit I'm bummed that there's no Quake 2 or any major sports. Like it or not, I'm not talking about golf games available for the Mac. And that's true, too. You can't find hockey. There are no hockey games for the Mac. There are no basketball games for the Mac. There are no football games for the Mac. There's VR soccer, which is about as exciting as playing real soccer. Oh, God. Okay, here comes the hate mail.
Yeah.
You can hear the electrons moving now. Some crazed Italian fan is now writing the mail. I don't mind watching soccer highlights on TV. Like, I'll watch the World Cup highlights, but to actually watch a soccer game, I'd rather just reach down and pull the toe tag off and die in my sleep.
Well, on TV, it's pretty boring.
You said you like watching soccer in person, but how could it be any different?
Well, I'd like to go see. With, of course, we have the Vancouver 86ers, and I haven't been to one of their games.
You and 4,000 other people.
So I'm going to go see sooner or later, just see what it's like.
Going to a World Cup game would be completely different, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're looking at like 100,000 crazed fans there.
I don't know if I'd want to be there.
Just be fun to watch them, yeah. No kidding.
Be sitting in the wrong section saying, hey, yellow team sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they will be, exactly. They will beat you into a pulp. Mark is on to say, I would never switch sides, but I drool at all the baseball software I'll never be able to play. Are the rumors about Tomb Raider coming to the Mac true? Yes, they are. Tomb Raider is coming to the Macintosh. When? Good question. But it is being ported over. As for software in general, it's not going to do Apple very much long-term good if the iMac is viewed as a really cool computer with no software. One last thing. Does anyone know of any good screenplay writing shareware? Thanks for the great show. Shareware screenwriting? No, I don't know of any. I know that the commercial stuff, Final Draft, is pretty good. But when it comes to shareware, no. But if anyone else does, I don't know every single piece of shareware on the planet. But if anyone else does know about shareware screenplay writing software, drop us a note. We'll pass it on to Mark down in South Pasadena, California. But he makes some really good points that at this point in our lives, very few of us would switch to the PC just to play games. But there's a lot of kids out there, and I've made this statement before, kids drive purchases because kids want to play games. Now, although, Mark, keep in mind that if you do have the computer, if you do have a G3 or looking to get one soon, you can play a lot of the games, not all of them, but you can play a lot of the games on real PC, virtual PC, soft Windows, those kind of things. Yeah, it's not a perfect solution, and yes, we would like to have the games directly ported to the Macintosh, but in the meantime, if you've got the oomph in your present computer, you can run some of that stuff there. And, by the way, Mark, why are you writing from Julie's address? That just screwed me right up.
I was going to say, no.
You got something you want to tell us?
Julie, Sean.
You got something you want to tell us, Mark? There's something you need to get off your chest, so to speak? Adam's giving me the C sign again. We have to do another commercial? I thought we just went to one.
Yeah, like 25 minutes ago.
Oh, all right. Let's do Windows Sucks.
Oh, let's do it.
It's one of our favorite ones. You're listening to Mac Combs' Mac Talk Radio Show. We'll be back.
If you are printing to the LPT1, try printing to the LPT1C /Windows.
The device command in this example sets up the
I am.
Oops. What did I do?
I don't know.
What are you guys doing? You've been fooling with that thing for 3 days now.
Making it easy to use, so we'll be more productive.
If it's productive, much longer we'll go out of business.
If you want a computer that's easy to use, there's still only one way to go.
We've secretly replaced Elvis's Macintosh with Windows 95. Let's see if he can tell the difference.
Well, what the hell?
Well, we've been testing both computers.
All right, give me the bottom line here, because this could really affect our business.
Well, they can both run DOS, Windows, basically everything we already have.
Yeah, but this one's designed for work groups, multimedia, you know, the future.
That's because it's risk.
So it's faster.
And when you add it all up, it costs less.
All right, so let me get this straight. It's faster, it works with everything we already have, and it costs less. So?
Well, which way are we going to go?
We need to make a decision.
I think we just made one.
Back to Mac Holmes, Mac Talk Radio Show. I'm Sean King of King of the Media.
And I'm Adam Clark.
Of
Late Night Consulting.
There you go. Got to get the name out there. Sooner or later someone's going to call us and want us to do stuff for them.
Oh, yeah. We do have listeners in B.C. now.
At least one. Trevor.
And we had somebody
that's
last
right.
week call
that's right.
us
yes.
from Langley.
About the magazines.
Yeah.
And actually, I did find out something about that. They had some distribution problems with the actual distributor. The new issue should be out if you've got a subscription, and I know our friend in Langley didn't, but if you've got a subscription and you missed anything, call the Mac Home subscription number at
1-800-800-6542.
And bitch and complain to them, because that's their job is to fix all that stuff. So,
cool.
Look for it again on the store shelves here in Vancouver, hopefully fairly soon. I keep looking for it and have yet to see it, but we're going to find the guy who screwed up and...
Remind me to whoop your ass good next time I see you.
And do that to him. It'll just give him a big old... That's what's going to happen to you.
Yikes.
Adam, still got some news items, believe it or not. What you got, Adam?
Well, we've got a follow-up to a story that we covered last week or the week before.
Which one?
It was regarding the Apple miniseries.
I think both, as a matter of fact.
I think we've been talking
about it for a while.
Okay, so this is getting to be redundant news. Rumors are still floating around about a planned history of Apple miniseries from HBO and Tom Hanks. Although Apple spokespersons told us they had no knowledge of such a project, an industry source has indicated otherwise. The quote is, "Somehow, everyone who's reported on this project has missed the obvious connection between Apple and Tom Hanks. And no, I don't mean how Apple figured in Forrest Gump. Hanks did Toy Story and, of course, Toy Story 2, which is even better than the original, for Pixar, whose CEO is none other than Steve Jobs. Let's just say I have it on good authority that Tom and Steve hatched this project together, and Steve just hasn't gotten around to telling the troops at Apple about it because it's still a ways off from happening yet. But believe me, it is happening, and it will commemorate Apple's return to greatness, which has been intricately roadmapped.
It's going to be interesting to see if and when that does happen. I mean, as I said when we first did the story, that there's a lot of stuff out there in development, and this could dry up and blow away at any time.
Yeah, but we'd have to have a listener videotape it and send it up to us, because we don't get HBO.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And I'm sure someone like Chuck Mack would do that. He likes to do stuff like that. What else you got?
We have, this is an interesting tidbit from macOS Rumors. Apparently, a reader's note prompted discussion with the usual suspects that revealed a strong industry suspicion of Microsoft's ability to deliver NT5 on anything resembling its current schedule. Just read today that NT5 is 30 million lines of code.
Holy mackerel!
85% of it being new. So that means the old...
30 million lines of code?
Yeah, but if only 85% of it is new, you know the old DOSX are still in there.
Yeah, that's what the other 15% is, yeah.
Exactly. Now, if I remember correctly from my computer software engineering class, the best code practices lead to a bug rate of about 1%, and this is considered very good. Some quick math puts that at about 250,000 bugs. If we assume that Microsoft code is an order of magnitude better than the average, whoops, just fell on the floor laughing, it'd still be 25,000 bugs. Judging by the hotfix directories, they can fix about 2 a month.
Unbelievable.
So, 12,000 months later.
And then when it comes to Windows NT and Windows 2000, Kevin Capwell has I don't know where Kevin's gotten this. He must have some connection inside of Microsoft. The new Windows error messages. One of them is smash forehead on keyboard to continue. Enter any 11-digit prime number to continue. Press any key except no, not that one. Bad command or file name. Go stand in the corner. Windows message, error saving file, format drive now, yes or yes. This is a message from God Gates, rebooting the world, please log off. Breakfast.sys halted, serial port not responding.
Oh,
boo hiss, boo hiss. File not found, should I fake it? Bad or missing mouse, spank the cat. Error reading fat record, try the skinny one. Windows virus scan 1.0. Windows found. Remove it.
Yes.
some of these are pretty funny. Your hard drive has been scanned and all stolen software titles have been deleted. The police are on the way. And that's not funny. Windows could do that.
Yep.
Windows actually, I mean, everybody has got the technology to actually do that. But that was a good commercial. For those of you watching the basketball game, someone tell me the score. I missed the score.
For those of us paying attention to the show.
Yeah, well, like you were earlier. Give me a break. Kevin also writes about yet another worm cleaner for that new auto start worm.
I don't want to clean my worms.
Man, okay. You like dirty worms?
Well, I just don't like worms.
Do you have worms?
No, not right. Myself personally. I wouldn't keep them as pets.
Just checking. Sit! Fetch!
Good worm.
It takes 4,000 to bring you the paper, you know? Across the carpet. Worm scanner at member.aol.com. J.W. Walker /pages, members.aol.com/ J.W. Walker /pages/ worm.html. This program scans your local drive for the AutoStart 9805, AutoStart 9805B, AutoStart 9805C worms. I heard a rumor somewhere that there's another one that automatically deletes those worms. That this is a temporary worm, that it'll actually delete itself after a period of time, which makes me suspicious. But that's why I read that somewhere. Yeah, it's a typical benign Microsoft, benign Mac virus. It's like, okay, I'll go now.
Bye-bye.
I slowed your computer down. I'll go now. Kevin Capwell, again, writes, why wait for... And by the way, Kevin, you're not putting numbers in here. Okay? There's no
one
numbers.
One chance to win. Got
so
to put a number.
I'm going to pick a number out of his phone, out of his address. There we go. 13. We'll pick 13. Remember, you got to be within 7. And rolling 0. Oops.
Ooh.
It's not within 7. I didn't even know 0 was one of our numbers.
Well, you put from 0 to 100.
I know. Kevin says, why wait for Macworld to announce Mac-based games? With the game conference just last week, why not announce them there? One of the reasons why is because Apple, at least for Mac games, Apple has never had a strong presence at E3. Matter of fact, this was the first time in a long time Apple had even been there. Even then, Apple didn't have a booth at E3. They only had this very successful party on Thursday night with co-sponsored with the folks at Mac Home, Susan Ford and those guys at Mac Home, co-sponsored this thing. So that's one of the reasons why, is that there's no point in doing it because the press is mostly PC press, and the reverse is true at Macworld. The press is almost exclusively Mac press, so you might as well wait till you can get all those guys in the same room at the same time, as opposed to being a game developer where you're running around to Chicago, LA, New York, talking to individual press members. They're coming to you in New York. One of the things about Macworld is that there's a lot of press releases, a lot of press announcements, a lot of inside demos for the press guys and things like that, which we're really looking forward to, because I'll squeal my guts out. I'm not signing no NDAs. I'm not signing nothing. Just don't tell me anything if you don't want to hear it on the air an hour later, Jack. All right? I'll be eavesdropping at parties. And
we've got great news to report today.
That's right. Sean's going to be arrested immediately after he says it, but you'll know first. But that's another reason why they do all that stuff. He says, P.S. Sean, what is your favorite character in Diablo, rogue, wizard, or fighter? I had a 30-plus level wizard on the DOS side, but I lost a half a year to get to that level. I didn't know you could get to 30th level. Holy mackerel. Actually, so far, the rogue is. For those of you who don't know, Diablo's got 3 character sets. They've got the fighter, who just bashes the hell out of things, the wizard, who throws spells, who I haven't played yet, and the rogue, who fights with arrows, mostly. Because she's a wimp and can't hold an axe. Well, she is. and if she gets into the fray, she gets her butt kicked real easy. So you got to buy her some serious armor. But, yeah, she's a little more fun because she's a bit more challenging. She's got some spells, and she's also got the hack and slash stuff. So I like and the fighter was fun, too. I'm looking forward to playing the wizard next time.
Now, Bruce just gave us some information in the channel saying, Otto, it's... regarding the dirty worms, he says that the auto start C deletes either A or B or both. He forgets which one, but it's the C that messes around with A or B.
Bruce, I wonder if C also then deletes itself. And that's an odd worm that it goes out and finds itself. I'd be interested to know the background of this, in that who created, obviously we're never going to find this out, but I mean, who created A and B, and does that same guy create C? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if
or
he did
somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone else creates C as an additional worm.
And Mike was also saying that we'll have to start the Sean Defense Bail Fund.
That's right.
We'll get that organized.
Somebody know a good bail bondsman in New York? I can call at all hours of the day, especially between 11 and 1 and 3 and 5, because that's when the police will definitely... And I won't be able to yell about diplomatic immunity either.
No kidding.
Although I'll try. I'm a king, damn it. You can't do that. We got a number from Derek, who's writing under Krista's name. Guys, don't do that. It confuses me, and I don't need to be confused. Actually, Derek's writing from Pitt EDU, so I'm assuming that's the University of Pittsburgh. Derek's number is 67, so again, you have to be within 7. 58. I can't do
close.
Math that fast.
Oh,
yes, very close, very close. And we're not just fooling you guys. We're actually doing this. Kevin Capel writes, I read the C version, exactly what Bruce said, was going to attempt to delete the B and A version. That was supposed to trigger soon this week. That's right. Yeah, there's a trigger on it where it'll trigger... trigger date where it'll kick in.
Good.
These virus guys are just weird, man. It's just
way too much time on their hands.
Exactly. Ken Townsend, that's right, Ken, hopefully you're still listening in. Ken Townsend says, I will name my first 2 kids after you guys. Now, a girl named Sean wouldn't be too bad, but a girl named Adam would just be terrible. When I hit it big, I'll buy you
that's
both of...
That's why boys are called Adam.
But if he says, I'll name my first 2 kids. He didn't say 2 sons. He said 2 kids.
Well, they'll both be boys.
How do you know? You get some ins with his wife's uterus or something?
No. Of course not. However, if he's going to be naming them Adam and Sean.
Moving on.
They better be boys.
I'll buy you both a new mansion with swimming pools and tennis courts. I don't want tennis courts. I want a basketball court, man.
I'll take tennis.
All right, you wimp. Wuss. And I'll teach my kids to be just like you guys. No, you don't want to do that. That's more trouble than it's worth, Jack. I'll tell you right now. Be bailing them out of jail. Yeah, no, don't even bother.
Well, just the little Sean.
Yeah.
Sean
yeah.
Jr.
The little Sean Jr.
I'll get Adam Jr. to play tennis with me. Sean will be out playing stupid giant tricks.
And I'll have them do a Mac Talk Jr. show for little kids.
For little kids.
Anyway, all kidding aside and all sucking up aside, just love your show. Ken, buddy, you're in. All right? Send me your email address. Sorry, in an email. Send me your mailing address. We will fire off to you as soon as we get them. Two tickets to Macworld Expo, July 7th to 10th. Thanks very much. And because you didn't put a number, we'll pick a number. And it looks like your smiley face is using glasses, so it's the number 8. So again, within 7, 27. We're going to get better numbers. 1 to 50 maybe next time?
Yeah, 1 to 2.
Dan Brenner,
if you're within 50.
Dan Brenner will still get it wrong. just pick on you, Dan. Tim Babb sent us some iMac picks from the Chicago Northwest U.S. user group meeting where Apple was showing off the iMac, and I'll take a look at those later, Tim. Thanks very much. Boy, we got lots and lots of stuff. And of course, it's as usual.
Hang on a second. Is our phone line broken?
No, our phone line seems to be fine.
877-828-TALK.
Why? Why do you ask?
Oh, just seems kind of quiet. I don't.
Oh yeah, good point. Know. Yeah, that's right.
Very, very odd.
Do you want to talk to somebody?
Okay, never mind. Let's get on with it.
Fabio might call back, man. She or Jane might call. Ah! Just kidding, folks. But again, it's that time of the week for. It's Bozo Alert time again, folks, and we all know who one of the bozos is, Mr. Stuart Alsop. Congratulations, Stuart, you're an idiot. With any luck, you
we don't even need to set it up.
Exactly.
Stuart, you're an idiot.
I mean,
and the other bozo is.
for those of you who've been following where is he? For those of you who have been following.
That has got to be the most ridiculous load of pig crap I have ever seen.
This stuff from Stuart Alsop, and by the way, the antidote to Alsop is link number 14, The Good, The Bad, and Stuart Alsop. More than any other national media figure, Stuart Alsop, a columnist for Fortune magazine, took a mean-spirited pleasure in kicking Apple while it was down. I don't even know where to begin with this guy. This guy's tough.
I guess all we have to say is go and read Stuart Alsop's online article this week on Fortune's website.
Well, part of the problem is that folks have misread what Stuart is saying on this. Everyone thinks that this is Stuart Alsop saying that the Mac is back and all that kind of stuff, but in his own snide, sly little way, he's still slamming Apple. He says, some of you might remember a column saying Apple did the wrong thing when it bought Next software in December 1996. Boy, did I take heat on that column.
I wonder why.
No kidding. I criticized the decision for two reasons. The company didn't need Next operating system, although its own software did need improvement. And two, what the company really needed was a visionary. Well, Stuart forgets to mention that the other reason he criticized Apple was because Apple didn't buy the B OS from Jean-Louis Gasset.
Why would he want them to buy B?
Well, because, you know, he thought that B was a technologically better operating system. He thought that B was a better value for Apple. He thought that B was just a better all-around system for Apple. The fact that he owned shares and stock in the company had nothing to do with it whatsoever. That if Apple had bought B for the same price that they bought Next, Stuart Alsop would have made his dumb little ass about $2 million. Now, if you're in that situation, you shouldn't even be reporting on the story. Someone else should have been doing that story. And if you still need to, if you were the only guy possible to write that story, you still must tell people about your involvement. And he still hasn't told people about his involvement with B.
Well, Stuart says that he's definitely giving his unbiased opinion on that.
Yeah, and we all know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I also accused Jobs of being pretty cynical for selling his company to Apple when he must have known that buying Next wasn't the right thing for Apple to do. So, Steve Jobs wasn't involved with Apple at the time. Steve Jobs was the president and CEO of Next and Pixar. He had no relationship with Apple. He might have owned a PowerBook, but he was thrown out of the company. So why should he care whether or not they want to buy his car for $40 million?
Exactly.
What difference does it make? If someone walks up to me and says, I want to buy your software company for $400 million, I'm not going to say, no, it's not the right thing for you.
You know? Are you sure that's really what
exactly.
you want to do?
You know, that's not going to happen, you numbnut. So he says, so Jobs did come back, and he started to put Apple back on track. His most recent decision, no surprise to me, was a sideline Rhapsody. Rhapsody has not been sidelined. Rhapsody is rolled into Mac OS X. You will not, after, I believe, September of this year, be able to buy or get Rhapsody separately, but it will be the foundation upon which Mac X, as Vince likes to call it, Mac X, is being built on. The reasons why Mac OS X will have virtual memory, will have preemptive multitasking, will have all these cool new features is because of Rhapsody. It's not been sidelined. They're using it as much, if not more, now than they were going to before. They're just using it in a better way, you idiot. While this new system will have many of the same features that Next Rhapsody had, it will be homegrown by Apple's engineers. No, it won't. It's still being built on the Next Rhapsody basis. And for him to say that kind of stuff just shows that he has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, Apple has said that Rhapsody is going to be the basis of Mac OS X. Apple has said that, what did he say, that they're using the code from Next to build all this stuff. It's not in any way, shape, or form a completely homegrown operating system. And he says, here's the interesting result. Apple Computer has a future. For the first time since at least 1993. Well, Stuart, if Apple didn't have a future in 1993, then it wouldn't be around in 1998, would it? Things with no future don't live long. If it hasn't got a future, you all see me making fun of them, but that's just poor writing. What do you mean it doesn't have a future? Obviously, it did have a future in 1993, because we're here now, 5 years later, and the company is growing. Some 22 million people worldwide have bought Macs, that's according to Apple, although I think they count me as at least five different people, only because you're schizophrenic, man. Steve Jobs is an extreme guy who doesn't seem to think anything is worth doing unless it can change the world. This is a bad thing? I think this is a very good thing. If more people felt this way, we wouldn't be paying basketball players $10 million a year to play basketball. We'd be paying cancer scientists $20 million a year to study cancer.
Yeah.
Being doesn't seem to think anything is worth doing unless it can change the world is a good thing. It is by no way a bad thing for anybody to have that as their life's work. Even if they fail miserably, it's still a good thing to try. This guy makes it sound like that's not something that they should even be trying. Apple's even advertises the machines are inherently faster than similarly priced Windows machines based on the Intel Pentium 2 processor. Who knows whether it's true? I gave up trying to figure out computer speeds a long time ago. You're an even bigger idiot. Exactly.
Go and find some bite marks.
Find the bite marks if you don't listen to Apple. Watch the demonstrations of Photoshop, of Macromedia Director.
It's a stupid line to say who knows whether it's true. There's a lot of people that know the absolute truth on this, and he's just got a blind eye towards it.
Play with the machines yourselves. Try some software yourself. You'll see that the machines are faster. He says, many of you know that when I joined my venture capital firm 2 years ago, I got our office to switch entirely to Windows software, both for our network servers and our personal machines. Now I look back and try to see what benefit we got from making that switch. The answer is simple, not much. The machines don't work very well. The software is hard to learn and inconsistent, and programs don't mesh as well as you would expect. Well, what kind of numbnut are you? Who here, who in our listening audience, all 8,000 of you, didn't know this was going to happen? Raise your hand. See? Nobody. Not a single person raised their hand. Everybody could have told this guy, if you switch, these are the problems you're going to have. And it's going to cost you thousands upon thousands of dollars. Because obviously they probably got rid of all their Macs and had to buy all new PCs and servers and software and all that kind of stuff. So you're getting inconsistent results. You're getting programs that don't mesh as well as you expect. You're getting undoubtedly frustration on the part of users. Your tech guys are probably happier than pigs and you-know-what because they're working their butts off, you know. But and he says, why shouldn't I have a computer that helps me work rather than getting in my way? Well, guess what, Stuart? You had that in the Mac, man. But you decided to throw all that away. Guy is just incredible. That the statements that he can make, fully thinking and believing that we're not going to call him on them, is just mind blowing to me.
Well, not only that, but remember the title of his of that article.
Yeah, I told you so.
Yeah. And this is a guy who claimed Apple should just hurry up and die.
Hurry up and die. That's right.
Insert your generic insult here.
You moron.
That's pretty much it. So,
so we need to start the abuse Stuart Alsop. I wouldn't call it a fund. I would call it a rally.
the ASAR, Abuse Stuart Alsop Rally. So the first person who sends us in a Stuart Alsop insult, just a generic insult, actually, sorry, the best Stuart Alsop insult over the next, say, 10, 20 minutes, either by email or on the phone or in the chat room, will, A, fire you off a T-shirt, and you'll get the last copy of our giveaway game, Agora, from netwarrior.com. And check out the netwarrior.com website for some very cool screenshots of the game. And again, it won't be ready till July. So the insult that we deem to be the best, we will send off two, count them, two different things. The coveted Mac Talk, no, not Mac Talk. We'll have the Mac Talk T-shirts for Macworld. The coveted Mac Home T-shirts and the copy of Agora.
Now, the interesting thing that we were talking about earlier, before the show, was that, okay, we could go and send email to Stuart, and we could tell him what a butthead he is. But if he gets 10,000 of these emails, either way, he goes, cool.
Yeah.
Look at all the attention I get.
Yep.
Same thing with the magazine. You could say to the magazine, listen, I'm not going to buy another one of your dirty rags as long as you've got morons like this publishing in your rag. I think the rest of the magazine's great, but this one dork will cause me to stop purchasing your magazine. Now, unless they actually see the results show up in their bottom line, Fortune's not going to get rid of Alsop.
Yeah, and it's a shame that the magazine can't hold, like a lot of magazines, as our next bozo will show, can't hold the writers responsible for their actions. I have no problem with opinion based on fact, but opinion dressed up as the truth, I have a huge problem with. This guy going back on the last, at the very least, the last 2 years of Apple slams and suddenly coming up and going, oh, guess what? I was right all along. Well, no, you weren't right. There was no point in your article where you write about anything. And you're just showing that you're as two-faced and backwards compatible as Windows is, in that you can't stick to a position. And if that's what you believe, that's fine. As long as you can believe that on facts. If you think that Windows are a better machine, as long as you believe that on facts, on the facts as you know them, that's great. But when this guy says, I don't know what computers are faster than others, well, then you're not basing your opinion on facts. You can't say that Windows is better or Macs are better if you haven't done the research and know your facts. And I know one of my friends I was talking to last night, he's a Windows guy. He likes Windows, and he has facts to back it up. And while I can argue with those facts, that's his opinion, but it's based on facts, and therefore I respect it. But these people, is just they're pulling the tail of Mac users for no good reason. There's no reason for these guys to be slamming Apple. There's no reason for these guys to be saying these things, except for the fact that it gets them lots and lots of email. It unfortunately, because people get upset with them, they send them hate email. Now, granted, Stuart also probably got 15,000 emails the last time he slammed Apple. And I'd be willing to bet no more than maybe a couple hundred of those were of the nasty, rude, stupid kind.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that he takes to the editors and go, look, I was right. Mac users are idiots.
Yeah.
Look at all the email I got. He's not going to say, I got 15,000 well-reasoned, you're a jackass letters. He's going to say, look, here's the 200 I got that give me death threats and said they're going to burn down my house. Well, guess what? I'm sure Windows guys get that all the time. Just because the world is filled with buttheads who have computers, as you're showing.
So we need the audience's help with this.
Yeah.
I'd like to goad Stuart Alsop into either giving the show a call or dropping us an email saying anything, either explaining his position with some fact or saying, I'm sorry, I'm a moron, but thanks for the attention, or whatever. So we need some ideas of how we can goad him on a regular basis, on the, either on the show or by email or something like that.
So we've got to find some way to get this guy's goat. Now, remember, this guy's a real thick-skinned guy. So actually, he's real thick to begin with.
He's just
but thick. But we got to, so we need your help in working on this guy and trying to find some way to... And by the way, Chuck and Tim, the noses are great. By the way, folks, we got sent noses, red rubber noses for Hiawatha Bray, a red rubber nose for James Coates, and those guys. Once we get a budget together, we're gonna mail those things off. We're gonna
a big bozo package
with colored paper and the whole deal. So we got to find some way to make sure that Stuart Alsop knows that we're not happy in, about it. So, again, let us know, and don't just give us generic stuff. I mean, I can do this.
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberry.
Alsop won't even understand that. I mean, that'll just go right over his head. But I mean, another guy that we have to get on is Bozo number one, John Dvorak. He's a classic Bozo. He's definitely up for Chuck's perennial Bozo award. He says in his article there on the first Bozo link, if Jobs actually saves Apple, we can expect to see the evolution of the modern CEO change. Instead of bean counters turning CEO, we can expect more ballet dancers taking on the role. That's a good thing. I'd much rather leave the bean counting to the accountants, leave the bean counting to the bookkeepers. I want a CEO of any company, whether it be Apple or Microsoft or GM, to be somebody with a vision, to be somebody who can look into the future and take us there. This is a good thing, having them be a ballet dancer, although he's being facetious there. But he also says, in fact, it's the Mac users, then as now, who has been the lemming and who's had a fascist attitude towards criticism and a Mac uber alles lifestyle to boot. It's ridiculous. These people are materialistic in the worst way. They treat the Mac as an idol. No Windows user or Unix hacks ever act like this. Well, that's true, John. Very good. He finally got something right. But the reasoning behind it, he's gotten all wrong. Why are we so defensive, seemingly so defensive, about the machine? It's because we believe this machine is the most elegant solution to our computing problems. We believe that Windows is a poorly done ripoff of the more elegant solution. And we don't understand why columnists like you keep lying about what goes on. We materialistic, yes, because I want the best machine, just like I want the best car and the best house and the best pair of socks and all that kind of stuff. That's not materialistic. That's wanting the best and not being willing to settle. That's the problem on the Windows side. People are willing to settle for second best. They're willing to settle for Windows NT5, which, like Adam says, is going to have 25,000 bugs in it.
On the low end, that's being optimistic.
That's being kind. That's being kind. They're willing to settle for an operating system that, in a lot of, not a lot of cases, but in some cases, will come to a crashing halt on January 1st, 2000. They're willing to settle for shortcuts that don't work properly. If those people are willing to settle for that stuff, that's just fine. Mac users aren't willing to settle. We want the best, and there's nothing wrong with that, Sparky. He says, there was the ad with the snail carrying a Pentium chip, which I sense got Intel more publicity than Apple. Yeah, it was all bad.
Yeah, very bad publicity.
Made them look stupid, so if that's the publicity Intel wants, go for it, guys. He says, I later pondered the curious ending of the Jobs dream and concluded this. It was just a dream, and so was ease of use.
Remind me to whoop your ass good next time I see you.
How can he say that ease of use is
a dream?
A dream. It's a fact. It's the reason why I use a computer. It's the reason why John Farr's...
I'll vouch for that.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, that's right. If I had to use a command line, I wouldn't use a computer. It's the reason why John Farr's Aunt Mary in Maine is using a computer at the age of 85. It's the reason why a lot of people use Macs. It's because it's easy to use. A lot of people who normally would not be able to go near a computer because of its perceived complexity are using computers because they can use a Macintosh, because they know or have been told by somebody else that the elegance and strength of this machine lies in the fact that they can very easily do what they feel they need to do with their computer. For example, we had a quote of the week. The salesman told me the best reason to buy Windows was one of their software aisles. He said one particular aisle was nothing but Windows utilities for troubleshooting a Windows machine. And Ray Clement says, if you need a full aisle of troubleshooting software to keep a machine running, you have the wrong computer.
No kidding.
Mac users need one piece of software to keep the machine running, Norton Utilities. Good, bad, or indifferent, Norton Utilities is pretty much all you really need to keep your machine running. That, and don't pile a whole bunch of garbage on it. Don't throw up extensions from 1992 and control panels from 86. And, you know, if you do intelligent stuff. But even then, if your machine screws up, it's fairly easy to fix. Ease of use is not a dream, Dvorak. Ease of use is here, it's a reality, and it's something we deal with constantly every day and love it.
Maybe we'll get John on a future show to slam all the heck.
We can definitely get John. Our buddies at Tech Talk at ttalk.com have said that we can talk to John and we can see we get him on the show. Folks, you out there in IRC chat land and email land, what do you think? Would you like to be able to call up and ask John Dvorak or even Stuart Olson? This is a good question. I've been reticent about asking these kind of people on the show. But what do the listeners think? Do you guys think having the alternate side would be good? Would you like to listen to Stuart Alsop, John Dvorak, Hiawatha Bray, James Coates, any of those guys come on the show? Are those the kind of people?
Or a better phrase would be, would you like to hear them come on the show and have Sean and I slam them all to hell?
That's right.
show them that their points have no basis in reality.
Yeah, I can just see us talking. So, Mr. Alsop, how are you? Oh, I'm sorry, sir, my finger slipped. Did you have a good day today? Yeah, I slipped it. That's something off my mouth, sir. I'm sorry.
So how many burgers you have before breakfast?
Yeah, exactly. But
just getting warmed up, I guess.
But I'd be curious to know if you folks out there think that we should have those kinds of guests, those guests from the other side of the aisle, to see if they can come on and either defend themselves or have us tear them new ones. So far, we've always had...
So far in the chat channel, it all seems big-time thumbs up.
You guys, big time.
You're on my new a-hole, Sean.
Come on down.
So while you guys chat about that, we'll go to our next commercial break. You're listening to Mac Holmes' Mac Talk Radio Show.
I'll be back.
The fact that Apple has made this so easy, it really becomes an incredibly valuable tool.
That's how it always starts. But then later there's running and then screaming.
Isn't Windows 95 simply better for the Internet?
You know, the biggest problem people have is getting onto the Internet, and Apple's made that easy. Just answer a few questions about yourself, type in a few numbers, and away you go.
What if you don't have an Internet service provider?
Apple helps you choose one. It doesn't get much easier than that.
But Windows 95 is easier than that. Just one click from the desktop.
That's fine if you want to slide down that chute. It takes you right to the Microsoft network. On the other hand, Apple lets you choose any browser, any Internet service provider. Boom, it's easy.
But don't the pros use Windows?
After Unix, macOS servers are the most popular on the Internet.
Hey, that means that...
Yeah, a lot of those Windows boxes are connecting to Macs.
But what about me?
With personal web sharing, anyone can get into the game. A few clicks and presto, your Mac's a web server. And when you want to create your own web page, go with the choice of the pros, Macintosh.
Today's Internet topic...
What would you do to change the world?
End hunger.
Everyone get the house.
Teach people to read.
Share your lunch.
I would teach people a new language.
Plant the tree.
Make music.
Make peace.
Today, more students are using Apple Macintosh to share ideas on the Internet than any other computer.
What would you do?
Welcome back to...
I'll be back.
We're doing this thing again.
Stop, stop.
You've got an invisible sounds in there somewhere,
it's that,
don't you?
It's that cart for some... Oh, it's, look at this.
Oh, repeat.
Repeat. Repeat. Don't do that.
Well, I'm glad you're in charge of the sounds.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, someone has to be.
Yeah.
Quick! Someone call the idiot police!
And have them take me away. Calgon, take me away. Where the hell did I go with that one? Bob Rito sends us, what is the ROL between 0 and whatever? My number is 29. Why are you giving me a number, Bob Rito? The number, oh, okay, here we go. I'm doing email at the same time. My number is 73. He keeps giving me... Okay, I see what he's doing. Why Macs suck? I found this on some website. Don't worry, it's more funny than mean. In fact, the guy says he loves his Mac. You can't go shopping with your friends for Sound Blaster board because Macs don't need one. Networking a Mac is not an impressive feat, which is true. You just plug Macs in and they work. Where's the challenge in that? And the Mac mouse is too slow. We want our cursor to fly wildly off the screen when we twitch our wrists because hyper cursors make our PCs look faster. That's often true. Your 200 megahertz 604E machine does integer calculations equivalent to a 362 megahertz Pentium Pro, but you only brag about the 300 megahertz machine. That's cute. Thank you very much. Okay, Barbara, he chose, his number from the last message was 73. Alrighty. Remember, you have to be within 7. So here we go. Roll.
40.
40, sorry. Should we lower the number down to 50?
God, well, it seems that way. You'd think. I don't know.
You think what?
You think with an area scope of 7 on either side of the actual number that about 1 in 10 people should be hitting, but nobody's getting it. Nobody, either that or the random number generator is too good and it knows what the person picks.
I was just thinking, maybe Paul is Paul mixes fixes so only he could win. That's always possible.
Possibility.
By the way, Ken Townsend writes back. Thanks a lot, Sean and Adam. I guess if the kid is a girl, it won't matter much, but they have to learn to deal with it. Or name the girl Seanette or Adamette.
Good.
Great, Kevin. We've got your address, and we will fire off the tickets, like I said, as soon as we get them. Bruce Gowell says, forget what I said on IRC in regards to the Autostrat Worm. One of the best places for Autostrat Worm info is Dr. Solomon's site at www.drsolomon.com. VIRCEN/VALERTS/Mac. According to it, Autostart 9805, another variant of the Autostart Worm, has been discovered. Unlike the other variants, it does not attempt to damage files. After June 8th, Autostart 9805C begins deleting copies of itself from disk volumes, then it quits. The infection is not completely eliminated because the running copy of the Worm is unable to delete itself, but it will no longer spread. That's interesting. So it won't delete A and B, but it will delete itself after June 8th and will no longer spread. And Bruce says, if I get to pick a number, I want 29. Yes, you always get to pick a number. Remember now, folks, the number is between 1 and 50 with a ratio of 7 still.
Sure, what the heck?
What the hell? 39. What was Bruce's number? I've forgotten already. Man, my mind is going.
40-something.
29. 39? 39. He was 10 off.
Thanks.
Sorry, Bruce. We're trying to let you guys win, and we just can't seem to do it. I don't understand why.
Well, like I said, my suggestion was between 1 and 2.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Kevin Capwell has found me out. I know why you dig the rogue in Diablo. It's that little leather halter top she wears. Come on, tell the truth now. Yeah, but you can't see it in the game. You can see it in the cut screens, but not in the game. The wizard rocks at high levels. Of course, getting into that level is tough. He's worthless in a close fight. I had the fireball spell doing around 500 points of damage. Cool. That'd be fun, man. I'd just destroy entire castles. All right, next level. All right, next level. And once again, Kevin, you didn't give us a number. So we're gonna pick one for you. I'll pick out of your phone
49.
Number. 49. Well, not between 1 and 7.
What?
Well, if it's between 1 and 7, 49. Oh, okay, fine, 49.
No, isn't the range between 1 and 50?
Yes.
49.
You're picking 49 for him?
Well, yeah, because it's a lousy number. Go ahead, roll the die. 8.
So it really didn't matter. We were so far off, it just bloody well didn't matter. E.M. Getty says, Stu Allsop is to Bill Gates as Sideshow Mel is to Krusty the Clown. There's a little reference. Steve Stewart, Waxhead, same thing, right? Yeah, it's the same thing. Another person didn't give us a number, so we're gonna pick the number out of your email, 23. So I'll pick 23 for you. And
ooh, 29. He's in the range.
He's in. Yeah. He's in. He wins. Okay, cool. What the hell are we gonna give him? What was it?
Don't you get a shirt for being within?
That's right. That's right. You get a shirt for being within the range. E.M. Geddes, I guess. E.M. Geddes. I'm guessing it's Ed. For some reason, I think it's Ed. I don't know for a fact, but E.M. Geddes.
Probably Esmeralda, but.
E.M., send us your mailing address, and we will get you off a T-shirt. Remember, if you get the number dead on, we send you out a one-year subscription to Mac Home Magazine.
Apparently, people on the chat channel think that you play the game just for the cut screens.
Yes, but tell those people you have to work to get to the cut screen, so it's not all just fun and games.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think and actually, to be honest, the cut screens in Diablo were very disappointing. I mean, they were the same ones, depending on which levels you were on, they were the same screens every single time, and it was kind of slow getting back and forth. Anyway, EM, send us your mailing address. Kevin Capwell says, just for my record, what is the ship to address of you guys? Why? What are you going to ship to us? I'm not telling you.
Box 666.
Exactly. Barbarito says, you should have a Windows nut on the show. That way they can give a view from the dark side of the computing world. It would be interesting to see what they have to say when you show them all the facts and point out the crap. Good point, Barbarito. And he's picked number 32.
36.
36. We have another winner.
All right.
We dropped this thing under 50. People are coming out of the woodwork and winning buckets of stuff. Barbarito, also send us your mailing address, and we will fire it off to you. Someone's whining about shirts. Here we go. It was Barbarito. Me and Dan Berger still haven't gotten our Mac Home shirts. That was from, like, March that we won them. Where are they? I'll find out. Right now, watch this. I'm going to forward this to Alan, the new editor-in-chief of Mac Home Magazine, and I fired it off. There. Now it's Alan's problem.
Ain't technology wonderful?
Exactly. Just slide that sucker over.
Now, has anybody written in any suggestions about the Stuart Allsop deal?
No.
Oh.
Well, we've got no one sending us suggestions. I don't know why.
Well, a bunch of uncreative slobs.
Bill Fuller, the old bald dude in our chat room, says, no power on earth would get me to New York, no matter who pays for it. Much as I would like to see the show, give my ticket to somebody else, I'm a hayseed. It's true. Bill hates buildings over two stories. Bill's just not happy. if the roads are paved, Bill's not a happy camper. Bill picks number 37. Let's roll the dice. 22. Sorry about that, Bill. Bill, by the way, is also a winner of our... last time around, he won the year subscription. Kevin Capwell, Windows Horror, Stuart Allsop. Well, I already read this stuff. Why are you sending me this? I know that. Yeah, there's a... On Accelerate Your Mac, it's WWX...
Ooh, overclocking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've got a page about overclocking, as a matter of fact. Check our link number 31, G3 overclocking.
That's the same one, isn't it?
I think it's the same one. Yeah. And by the way, if you overclock your G3, oh, man. First of all, you're avoiding the warranty. Just be sure of that. Now, I only suggest overclocking anything once the warranty's over. You know, there's no point doing it within the first year because... If anything else happens, Apple's going to point to you and go, up yours.
There is one overclocking fix on that site where you can just add a wire in between the jumpers. And so if you ever do need warranty work done on your machine, you could always pull the wire out and say, I don't know what happened. I don't know why smoke came out of it.
So what you've done is just encourage our listeners to do something illegal.
Well, no, they I'm just pointing out what it says on the website.
Oh, I see.
Nice
save.
Yes, thank you.
Nice save.
That's my job.
Nice shoe top catch, man.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I don't know how... I was looking around on that page and other pages trying to find out how overclockable PowerPC chips are.
Yeah.
On the dark side of the world... things like the Cyrix chip and the AMD chips are not terribly overclockable because they make those chips, they produce them about as fast as they possibly can so that they keep up with Intel chips. Yeah. They want to try to stay at least relatively quick. Now, the Intel chips are better manufactured, and you can overclock those. So I'm wondering what the reliability is on a PowerPC chip when you go and tinker with it. It sounds from the at least a couple of places that I've heard that it sounds like it's fairly reliable.
On older PowerPC chips, this was something popular PowerPC guys did with their 6100s as they came out of warranty. Excuse me. And it was very reliable. I can't remember the name of the company, but someone sold a clock chipper that you could dial the settings, and if it got too high, things would start to crash in your machine, so you just dial it one notch down or two notches down.
Yeah.
Two notches down. So it was fairly popular with the older Power Max, and obviously it probably still is, and it will be with the G3s once more of them walk out of warranty. You know, they came out in November, so, you know, December of this year, you'll start seeing people talking about overclocking and that sort of thing, and probably get ridiculous speeds out of them, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. With probably ridiculous heat factors, too. But speaking of, that reminds me, speaking of heat factors, we got...
Actually, and I should note here, since we're on the overclocking issue, is that our encoder is actually an overclocked machine. It's a Pentium 166 that's actually running at 187.5 megahertz.
87.5?
187.5, yes.
On what speed of the bus?
I've got it cranked up to 75. 75 times 2.5.
Because I know the Mac, the bus, your megahertz rating is a factor of your bus speed.
Yeah, same on the other.
Same on the PC?
Yes.
Okay. Bob Barr. Oops. Oh, jeez. Bob, I'm sorry, Bob. He says, first let me say how incredibly much better you guys are than another Mac Magazine's internet radio show. I wonder who that would be.
I don't know. I didn't know you could... I've tried, but
I've never heard anybody.
There's another one that is just almost impossible to listen to.
Didn't even know there was anybody else.
Oh, wow.
Now that I'm finished with those sickly sweet kissing up, wait, we don't mind kissing up. I have a 9600-300 with an Adaptec 29040 card, a Media 100Q. Oh, my Lord. Guys, just buckets of stuff. You and Trevor should get along just great, man. What I'm worried about is the heat all this is producing. I have run this Mac open without the left side panel thinking it would be cooler. However, the left side panel has a fan on it, and maybe that keeps it cooler than running it open. What do you think? What can I do to keep this Mac from melting?
First question would be, have you noticed any heat problems with having the machine closed up?
Yeah.
Like, were you just paranoid about the heat because you do have a lot of cards in your machine? Generally, if you put a bunch of cards in your machine, you should be able to stock your machine as full as it can go and not have any problems. That's what all the fans are in there are designed to do.
That's right.
So unless you're actually seeing problems with your machine when it's closed up or when it's open, you really shouldn't worry either way. I mean, it's always good to have good airflow and keeping your machine cool just to help with the longevity of the machine and all the parts inside it. But unless you see a problem, there generally isn't one.
And for no other reason than obviously depending on where you live and the environmental conditions, I never recommend leaving your machine open just because of dust and
the dust factor
and cat hair and all that kind of stuff. I'm looking over at Adam's machine because he used to have his wide open. So that's definitely a concern of mine that stuff can get in there and really mess with the works. But if it's not hot now, don't worry about it. It's not going to get hot. The only thing I would be concerned about is that 10,000 RPM Seagate that you got running in there. But those, I believe, have a fan on them, and therefore it's already being cooled itself. The rest of the stuff, Apple has already taken that stuff into consideration, so it shouldn't be any problem at all.
Yeah, unless you're overclocking your machine, you really shouldn't have too much to worry about.
That's right.
If you do overclock your machine, And again, it'll probably be different with a PowerPC chip. You may or may not have to worry about adding additional coolers to the inside of your machine.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. So hopefully, Bob, that answers your question. Kevin Capwell writes, tells about an interesting nifty tidbit about making the Find command more feature-rich. Holding down the Option key on the name pop-up menu in Find File offers an extra possibility, albeit a slow one, finding a file by searching for text in the contents of text files. This goes
hairball. Says this goes back at least as far as macOS 7.5.3, and the Option key also enables searching by visible custom regular icon and lock unlocked status.
Thank you very much. I knew about this before, and you're right, it's painfully slow. It's just really slow. Adam and I were at an Apple demonstration yesterday, and they showed a very interesting new open and save
dialog box
yeah. on the Mac. It was called Sampler, but only because it was running on a demo machine that it was a separate application, but it will be rolled into 8.5. And it was very interesting. For those of you who have seen, and another wonderful segue, I love when we can segue like this. For those of you who have seen link number 18, a piece of the action files makes it easy to move, rename, and trash files. For those of you who have seen it and or used it, and if you haven't used it, I would encourage you to do so, because action files have been running in my machine for about a month now. It's just fantastic. I love the additional functionality of it. And what Apple is going to be doing is a lot of that same kind of functionality. Not all of it, though, but they're going to be rolling
but
in a lot of...
towards it, yeah.
I think they're working towards it. So in the meantime, if you want to see how that works, get action files. But the other thing we saw yesterday was the ability to search inside of text documents much faster under 8.5 than you can under any other operating system.
Of course, it's tough to tell, because I don't think the system that they were showing us on had all that much on its hard drive.
That's right, yeah. That might be different with a whole hard drive full of text files.
Yes, exactly.
The other thing we saw yesterday that was very cool was Rhapsody up and running. Ugly interface compared to the Mac, but...
Well, although that's it's
a personal
very
opinion.
Subjective, yeah. I like some of the looks from AfterStep or OpenStep, whichever interface they use in Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, some things certainly aren't as pretty as they are in the Mac OS. But I was the biggest thing that I was impressed with the interface is that it looked quite complete for being just a second developer release.
Yeah, that's right.
It that very, very much impressed me.
We have another phone call coming in. Hi, welcome to Mac Home's Mac Talk. Who's this and where are you at?
Hey, it's Mike from Linio.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
Mike, where do you live?
Right now I'm in Ohio. I'm actually from Michigan.
Oh, okay. Where in Ohio? Are you near Podunk?
Where's that?
Okay, you don't know where Podunk is? We have listeners in Podunk, man. Don't make fun of Podunk. Where in Ohio are you?
No, I'm in Columbus for the summer.
Okay, you're there out of school, or?
No, well, I'm going to be, I don't know, I'm doing some, like, contract work for Ohio State University over the summer.
Mm-hmm. So folks, for those of you who don't know, Michael Flaminio is the proprietor of the Insanely Dash, I've got to keep remembering doing that,
yeah.
InsanelyDashGreat.com mailing list and news site, and one of our partners that we're very proud to be associated with. What's up, Mike?
Not much. Let's see what you guys are up to. I was wondering if actually you're still online. I wasn't on.
Well, we're up to about 8:38 here on the West Coast.
Yeah, I thought you guys were going to be on for 3 hours or something.
Well, no, actually, we've had, I guess some people just have, I've been doing that now for about a month, but no one seems to have noticed. I when I say 3 hours, I mean from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, because we've got an hour of chat.
We've got
an IRC chat beforehand. But hopefully, yes, we will be going to 3 hours of actual yakking sometime in the near future. But tonight, we got started late. For those of you who are wondering why we've gone so far past our usual time, we got started late because of a server glitch. We didn't get the show started until 6:30. So, and we've got so much stuff to give away and that kind of thing. And speaking of giving away stuff, you're giving away some very cool toys on your site.
Yeah, we're giving away our Office 98.
Okay, now who did you suck up to get that?
Oh, really? Nobody. We're just picking it up.
Cool.
We're thinking about some stuff to do. Because it's been a year since we officially came on.
What's the official date?
Well, we came online right about now, actually, last year. But we made the official grand opening August 1st in 97. And also something to go along with Macworld. So we heading out there, like I told you before.
Yeah.
And looking forward to see you guys.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be a lot of fun to finally meet a lot of these folks we've been talking to online and chatting with in mailing lists and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, fun, huh?
Well, it will be if I'm around. Let me tell you that right now.
We'll see afterward, though.
If it's not going to be fun, I'm leaving.
Yeah, well, just see what you guys are up to. I told you I'd give you a call sometime.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And see whatever. So I'll hope to see you up in Macworld.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, see you,
easy.
Yeah, bye.
Remember, folks, you can always get a hold of us at 1-877-828-8255. I don't know if Mike knew we were on the air right there.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. I'm glad he didn't say anything.
Hey guys, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We're doing a radio show. Just a little thing. You know?
Just a little thing. A little thing that we like to do every Wednesday night, just to hang out with our friends, just chilling and ailing. Adam's giving me the C sign again, so he wants me to do more. I don't know if we have any commercials left. Sorry.
We've got at least one break left.
Oh, all right. We'll do this one. You're listening to Mac Holmes. No, hang on. No, we haven't this one. Sorry. I was reading the thing if we'd seen the ads before.
But you are listening.
You're listening to Mac Holmes' Mac Talk Radio Show. We'll be back.
I'll be back.
The fact that Apple has made this so easy, it really becomes an incredibly valuable tool.
That's how it always starts. But then later there's running and screaming.
Isn't Windows 95 simply better for the Internet?
You know, the biggest problem people have is getting onto the Internet, and Apple's made that easy. Just answer a few questions about yourself, type in a few numbers, and away you go.
What if you don't have an Internet service provider?
Apple helps you choose one. It doesn't get much easier than that.
But Windows 95 is easier than that. Just one click from the desktop.
That's fine if you want to slide down that chute. It takes you right to the Microsoft network. On the other hand, Apple lets you choose any browser, any Internet service provider. Boom, it's easy.
But don't the pros use Windows?
After Unix, macOS servers are the most popular on the Internet.
Hey, that means that...
Yeah, a lot of those Windows boxes are connecting to Macs.
But what about me?
With personal web sharing, anyone can get into the game. A few clicks and presto, your Mac's a web server. And when you want to create your own web page, go with the choice of the pros, Macintosh.
Today's Internet topic.
What would you do to change the world?
End hunger.
Everyone gets a house.
Teach people to read.
Share your lunch.
I would teach people a new language.
Plant a tree.
Make music.
Make peace.
Today, more students are using Apple Macintosh to share ideas on the Internet than any other computer.
What would you do?
Welcome back to Mac Holmes Mac Talk Radio Show. I'm Sean King.
And I'm Adam Clark.
And we're once again having more fun than we need to be. It's quarter to the hour here on the West Coast. We're going to go until 9 o'clock this evening, and then we'll be back.
Now, this will be fun interesting for the people listening to the archives, because time will be really out of whack.
Yeah, that's right. I shouldn't do that, should I? That's right.
This is now quarter past, half past.
What? No. Brian Marshall says, after reading this week's quote of the week, I thought I'd add something to it. Go to PCdata.com and compare the top 10 lists of Mac and Windows business applications. It's kind of sick to see that almost all of the top Wintel apps are utilities, and proves to me how much more productive the Macintosh really is. It's programs like these that give Wintel such a large software selection, not useful, productive apps. And it's true. You go there and you see First Aid and Norton Antivirus and all these other kinds. I think 9 of the top 10 on the PC side are various fixture Windows machines. Fixture Windows applications. Just,
well, one of the big ones would be uninstaller.
Exactly.
How to pull all this crap
out of your machine. Because it's absolutely necessary on your PC. On the Mac, not so much. All you do is delete the application. Sure, there might be some preferences file lying around, but they won't do anything without an application. All they'll do is take up 4K of disk space. So if you want to get rid of a Mac app, you just throw it away. It's not that difficult.
Yep.
A PC app, you better make sure you got everything out of the registry app, out of the win.ini file, out of your most drivers. It's just insane.
Everything. And unfortunately, most of the software on the Windows side installs itself in about 18 different directories.
That's right.
Here, we'll just hide everything on you.
It bursts his guts up all over your hard drive.
Yeah.
And Brian gave us a number 47, so let's roll those dice.
42.
Another
yes.
winner.
Another winner. All right, Brian, send us your mailing address, and we're going to fire. Oh, we do have a winner sound, but I can't get to it fast enough. That's the problem. I have too small a monitor. So
you need to run a couple of monitors.
I'd love to be able to run a couple monitors. So, Brian, send us your mailing address. And E.M. Getty says, no, the name isn't Ed, it's Ernie. And Esmeralda is my drag name. We have the best listeners in the world. Great sense of humor. Robert Winston, the AI over on the Macintosh News and Information List, says, I'm running a newer tech card 250-125 at 266-177 since November with no problem.
Okay, Winston, but what's your bus speed running at?
Newer tech card, probably, it's a first generation G3, 50.
50. Oh, okay.
Or no. Yeah, 50.
Mine is still faster.
Robert says it runs at 36 degrees Celsius, 96.8 Fahrenheit, and that's a first generation G3. Robert, you didn't send us a number. I'm going to pick a number. Let's pick this number, 35. Rolling the dice. Yes, another winner.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy, Alan Stafford's going, oh, man. I'm giving away 800 T-shirts tonight. Robert, please send us your mailing address, and we will get a T-shirt off to you as soon as we can.
Ooh, actually, Winston says his bus is running at 44.
44, mate.
Okay. Oh, how pokey.
I'd love to have one of those cards. Ernie/Esmeralda writes, the shirt size. Jeez, where the hell is my mind today? Obviously not here. Anyway, how about extra, extra large if you have it? You guys are awesome. Make sure to have a bite to eat at the All-Star Cafe in Times Square while you're in New York. Oh, by the way, the rooftop of the World Trade Center is incredible.
Yeah, right. Like, you'll get me up there.
Sean with a parachute. Push him. I'll get at him and go up and take pictures. I'm not getting off the ground, Jack. No way. That's something else, too, by the way, folks. If you've been to New York, if you live in New York, if you travel to New York, if you've got some places you'd like us to go and check out and visit, and if you know good places to shop or cool Mac stores or anything like that, please give us tips and tricks and tidbits of things to do and places to see and places to go in New York. We'd love to have your advice. All-Star Cafe in Times Square, that sounds cool. We can make plans for that. Rooftop of the World Trade Center, not going to happen, Sparky.
I'll go. I'm leaving Sean down.
Bye-bye.
There. Alan's actually in the chat channel. The new He Who Must Be Obeyed at Mac Home.
No, we haven't called him yet that.
We did initially.
No. Yeah, that was the interim He Who Must Be Obeyed. He's like Steve Jobs. He hasn't fully gotten to the He Who Must Be Obeyed part.
He Who Must Be Listened To.
Okay, that's fine. That works. We'll give him that.
Oh, man. He was responding to you giving away all these T-shirts. He's saying, oh, man, it's okay. It's coming out of Sean's pay.
That's right. Exactly.
So essentially, you're going to have to start paying Alan.
And like the old song goes, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Krista. No, it's not Krista. This is Derek again. Maybe we could get a pic of the guy making make a Shockwave movie and be able to throw stuff at him. Like, you could choose an Apple Rock or whatever. Also, sorry, I have to email you from my sister's because my ISP's mail server is like crap. my number will be 25.
That's an interesting idea. We should contact those people that write
47,
those small punch Java apps.
Yeah.
Get a picture of Stuart Alsop in there and you can sit there and punch away on our website or something.
Just smack them around, yeah.
Exactly.
That'd be fun. Barbarito writes, this is something I've seen on First Aid's website. First Aid 98 corrects tens of thousands of Windows programs. Who wants an OS that has more than 10,000 problems? If I can still win again, I'll pick number 15. No, you've already won tonight, man. You're not going to win again.
That's all another number anyways.
Brian Marshall sent us his email. Just we're gonna random roll number?
Yeah.
19. How was that?
He would have won again. Yikes.
And Brian also sends a shirt size. By the way, if you guys don't send us a shirt size, I'm not chasing you around for it.
We're sending smalls.
No, as Jane found out, we sent out extra larges. Jane said that hers is a tent because Jane's just a little.
Well, she can use it as a nightie or something at that point.
A little tiny. Don't even go there, man. It's just not. Let's not talk about Jane and a nightie.
No.
That'll get us shut down so fast.
Have you never seen females that wear T-shirts as a nightie or walk around the house with none but a T-shirt on?
I'm not going to get into that with you. I don't want to talk about other women and their 90s. You're weird.
You're
Jeez,
no fun.
Man, sick, sick puppy.
Since when have you been the downer on the show?
Well, when it comes to smut, You know me. I'm not into that kind of stuff. That's just not. There's just absolutely no need for.
As he flushes up our mascot.
Our cheering squad.
Shh. Quiet. Well, there were nothing but Christian girls. I know that, but.
No, I'm not going to go there either. There's a good article, a good link on link number 19 is from Macworld, iMac, feedback, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some of you responded with unbridled joy, others with cautious optimism, and still others with abject confusion. So read some of the letters they got from people with regard to what they think of the iMac. It's really interesting to get people's reactions to the iMac, both their initial reaction from just seeing it, but also from the techie reaction of knowing that there's no SCSI, there's no floppy, there's no AVB, that kind of stuff. So those things are always real interesting to find out, and it was interesting reading some of the articles or some of the letters that these folks, Macworld, had on this page. Link number 20 is from the LA Times. When choosing a processor, watch your speed. And at the very end of it, they say that you can't talk about fast processors without talking about Apple. And the good quote was, Apple claims the G3 processor running at 300 megahertz outperforms a Pentium 2 processor running at 400 megahertz. Having worked with both, I think Apple is telling the truth. And it was funny, when Adam and I went to this Apple seminar yesterday, there was a gentleman from one of the local computer stores who I've seen there often, and who is a PC seller. And he's actually tried to sell me a PC a couple times. When the Apple guy said this and showed the demo of the iMac, or was it the iMac? No, it wasn't the iMac. Of a G3 kicking a Pentium butt, this guy raises his hand and goes, "That's not right." And the Apple guys went, "What do you mean?" So, "Well, that are you sure that's true?" And the Apple guys were going, "Uh-huh." And the Apple guy, very Alan Vintner, very emphatically said, "These are bite marks, man." Intel, up until a little while ago, used bite marks in their own testing and in their own advertising. These aren't numbers that Apple made up out of whole cloth. They got the bite marks. And then Intel went, "That's not fair. Those numbers aren't right." And Byte agreed. And so Byte redid the test and came out with faster numbers than Apple did. And as he's telling this, Al Vintner comes to realization. He goes, "Well, wait a minute. Byte just went under." Is there some kind of connection there? Did Bill Gates pull the plug on these guys? Did the guys at Intel go, "All right, you want to be that way? Fine, yank." You know.
You want to tell the truth, huh?
That's fine, exactly.
I'll show you the truth.
No way. One of the things that I did mention about the our bozo, link number 10, John Dvorak said, "Apple has never made a decent laptop." Now,
he's obviously never touched any of the new ones, the old ones.
Even the only really bad laptop Apple has ever made was a 5300, and that was just poor quality assurance. Now, depending on your definition of decent laptop, obviously that's very, very subjective, but even as something as simple as our listener of the week, Walter, I want to get your name right, Walter, because I did it so well the first time. Walter Forlini, he had a PowerBook 100, and PowerBook 100s are still a useful machine if you stay within the boundaries of what the machine can do. You're not going to be doing 50 meg Photoshop files on a PowerBook 100. It's a text machine.
Just the same as you're not going to be running any graphic interface on a 286 laptop.
That's right. Exactly. So for him to say Apple's going to be a decent
laptop. Although Apple laptops can run Mac OS.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, but for him to say that Apple has never made a decent laptop is just.
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
absolutely no need for that kind of language. One of the really neat stories, link number 12, Apple's recruiting in the field again, and as Don Crabb says, "Halla friggin' Luya." This is a good story. Apple is starting to rehire people. Remember, they dumped about 4,000 people over the last, year and a half, 2 years, to really cut back on a lot of dead wood, cut back on a lot of people that they didn't need, but they also cut back on people that they did need. And one of the things that they're looking for now is system engineers. What system engineers at Apple do is they basically fall around the marketing guys going, okay, yes, we can do that. No, we can't do that. Slapping the marketing guy's wrist going, shut up, man, we can't do that. So Apple, it looks like Apple is rehiring. So
good to hear.
Very, very much so. Don't forget, you can always get us via email at MacTalk@MacHome.com. You can check out our chat room that Adam is watching and chuckling at. And the Bulls win. I'm so happy. And also, you can call us on our toll-free number, 1-877-828-8255. And get in touch with us in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the show. We're quickly going to... Something that someone keeps asking, or several people have asked over the last while, we don't get to every link in the show on purpose. We're not trying to get to all the links you see on our links page. We're basically picking and choosing. What the links page is more of a guideline to you, the listener, as to what went on in the past week, in my not-so-humble opinion. So we're not trying to get to every single one of these. The ones we don't get to, I usually leave up for a two-week period. But if I don't get to all of them, it's not the end of the world, so don't worry too much about it. One of the neat links is 27. Check that out if you're a Kaleidoscope fan. And I don't use Kaleidoscope. If anyone out there does use Kaleidoscope, write me and tell me why. I'm curious to know. I find the I've tried it out, but I find the Kaleidoscope stuff to be too jarring. And in this, I'm a purist when it comes to the OS. Or at least the interface. I don't like a lot of the Kaleidoscope changes that it makes. I know a lot of people just love them, and Apple's going to be rolling in something very similar to this in the next version of the operating system. So keep an eye out for that for you Kaleidoscope fans. Link number 29 is a lot of fun and basically shows what you can do with Photoshop. as I say underneath it, don't take any of these seriously. I don't want to hear people giving me rumors about the Timex watch running a Mac OS, okay? They're not real pictures, all right? Take a reality pill, get on the Clue bus, don't write me about this stuff, and don't tell your friends about it. It's just joking. If you get a chance too, check out number 30. I've been playing around with earlier this morning. Metasynth, outrageous program, lets you take any graphic image and convert it into sound.
That's bizarre.
It's very bizarre. It's very, very neat. And I don't know much about how it works or anything else like that, but it's one of those things where you just start grabbing pictures, turning them into pic files, and throwing them on this thing to see, okay, how does this picture sound? You know, it's just out of curiosity, if nothing else. One of the guys we're looking forward to talking to, one of the guys we're looking forward to talking to are the folks at MacSoft. They're going to have Unreal available in the near future, and check out link number 32 for some very cool screenshots of this game. It looks obviously like although I don't believe the engine's based on Doom or Quake, it's that type of blow it up if it moves game. But the graphics are just magnificent. Really, really pretty, good-looking graphics. And for those of you, as we wind up this
edition,
this edition of the fun-filled, fun-packed Mac Talk Radio Show, Mac's Bug for non-programmers. If those of you have heard a lot of the geeks talk about Mac's Bug and want to try it out yourself, it actually is. Once you learn more about it, it can be quite a useful utility to find out what things are going on in your computer. So if you have an interest to learn a little bit more about that stuff, definitely check out that link. Keep in mind, next week we have Adam Engst on the show, the author of the Internet Starter Kit for Macintosh and the Eudora book for Macintosh, also the author of the Tidbits mailing list newsletter. Great newsletter. I encourage you all to go to tidbits.com and sign up for it. It's a wonderful weekly newsletter. Gives a little bit more in-depth info on a lot of bits and pieces of Apple. Don't forget, if you're not a subscriber to the magazine, go to call up 1-800-800-6542, subscribe. We encourage you to do that. It's a great magazine with a lot of cool stuff. And
including our show on the CD.
Exactly. Old issues of our show on CD, and I that's very cool. It's very neat to listen to the old shows. You sound terrible, by the way, on the old ones.
Again, that's your opinion.
All of this is my opinion. And I like my opinion. I have good opinions, according to, of course,
no,
me.
But see, That's the reason I'm here. That's right. Impose a little reality on the show.
That's right. And as those of you who know me know, I can always use more reality. I just don't get enough of it in my real life because it's just I don't play in that game. And remember, we are going to Macworld. We are going to be in Macworld from July 7th to 10th, and we are looking to do a whole bunch of cool stuff there. So keep listening. Keep following the show. We appreciate all you guys hanging with us all the way through the extra hour that we had to go through because of a minor error at the beginning of the show. And next week we will be, hopefully, touch wood, on time. And as always, I've been Sean King.
And I'm still Adam Clark.
And you've been listening,
as far as I know.
And you've been listening to Mac Holmes, Mac Talk Radio Show.
Of a gig, biggest ever seen. God, this program's big. MS Word 15 comes on 10 CDs and requires damn. Word is fine, but geez, 60 megs of RAM. Oh, Microsoft, Microsoft, bloatware all the way. I've sat here installing Word since breakfast yesterday. Oh, Microsoft, Microsoft, moderation, please. Guess you hadn't noticed. 4 gig drives don't throw on trees.
Get me one of these!
Welcome to the world of Macintosh. It's a Macintosh thing. You wouldn't understand.
Please wait while the computer shuts down.